B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with the Chewness. That's the bro in the background. Doing us a solid, changing the placards for the show. Thank you, bro.
Well-oiled machine here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, good morning. Well, here we are, Tuesday, and I have an exercise for us today. Now, this is a truism. Coaches use four games, and they always believe in the four-game intervals, right? They love to kind of look back at four-game increments because the four games, they believe that that's a good sample size to kind of figure out what they need to work on, what they need to improve on, the whole thing. So today, we're going to dive into the four games, all right? And we're going to look at it from a global perspective on what we see from obviously the coaches, Nick Sirianni, all told. It's Nick Sirianni as the offensive coordinator and play caller, and Jonathan Gannon as defensive coordinator. We'll look at Jalen. We'll look at the offense. We'll look at particulars on defense, right? I want to kind of dive into each guy, each unit, and kind of figure out where we're at and where we're headed. After four games, they sit at 1-3. I think all of us, most of us, expected 1-3. Now, it gets skewed a little bit because of Atlanta, when they looked so good against Atlanta. But I don't think any of us really would have quibbled if I say before the season they would start 1-4, 1-3. Because there was a chance that they could have started 0-4. But they start 1-3. And there was some good amidst the struggles of the rebuild. There was some, you know, silver linings. So we're going to kind of dive into it and kind of look at it because I want to continue with my objective, which is to look at this team like it's a science experiment, right? Like to kind of go through exactly who they are in this build, because the quicker we can get to, you know, next year, the better for this team. You're going to have incredible draft capital and cap space. So you're going to have the building blocks to really push the rebuild, maybe even to becoming a division contender. So that's kind of what I'm looking at today. And I want to look at it from the same way with the Phillies, too, when it comes to the building. Now obviously, we're going to do four games, the Eagles. But now we've entered an off-season. Today is a day where the MLB playoffs begin. Yankees and Red Sox. And as we know, it's been a decade since the Phillies have made the playoffs. And I got to tell you, we understand why we have mentioned ad nauseum Matt Klentak. Now it's up to, I think, John Middleton. John Middleton, when he took over as the primary owner of this ball club, he vowed to win, right? You know, he vowed to write the biggest check for Bryce Harper, and that was a good signing. He made a colossal blunder in McPhail and Klentak. Colossal blunder. He stayed with them way too long, and they destroyed his franchise. Destroyed it. Well, now they're kind of building out, sorting through the rubble. Dombrowski, I got a lot of faith in. I like the hire of Mattingly. They got some good baseball people around. They finally eradicated all those analytic, you know, little minions running around. And they got actually real baseball people now inside that franchise. So that's a good thing. But what do they need to do? Because I don't know about you guys, life's so freaking short. I need baseball playoffs again, man. I love it. Like, I'm excited to watch it. But, you know, Yankees and Red Sox, Dodgers and Cardinals tomorrow night. You know, this is a year it's weird because some years I'm into it more than others. This year I'm like really, really into it. And I don't know why, but I'm really, really into it. Probably even more than the last couple of years. Last year was weird, the 60-game season. Maybe that was because of the reason why with COVID. But this is actually a real playoff. And even though I hate the alignment, but it's a real playoff. And I miss the Phillies, man. I do. We were talking earlier. John brought up the idea of being objective. And I do try to look at everything objective when it comes to sports. I love sports, right? So, like you guys do, I always try to look at it as objective as possible because I think that's where the truth lies. Now, in my heart of hearts, yeah, like, do I want the Eagles to win and get? Yeah, of course I do. You know that. Same way with the Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, and Eagles. I mean, it's just, you know, 4-for-4 and Union 5-for-5. So that'll never change, and that's, you know, true. But when we're looking at analyzing where these teams are, then I believe in objectivity because the best way to build something is being objective about the talent. So we need to do that, especially when we're going to go and analyze Jalen, Sirianni, Gannon, the defense. Like, we got to show objectivity because that's going to lead us to the answer. Good morning, Chunas.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
What are you doing?
The
good?
Movie phone?
Yes.
Hello, this is Andrew Sal Chunas for movie phone. You don't even remember movie phone.
No, I think it was around early part of my life.
Yeah.
I remember calling something and hearing something like that.
Playing, here's you, playing at the AMC Deptford 8.
I was also a big newspaper, check out the movie times.
Oh, yeah?
That was cool. Yeah.
Flying in Brigantine. Did they have a movie theater in Brigantine?
No.
Really?
No. I guess you go to AC. That's probably the closest movie theater. Probably like an IMAX.
You got to have a movie theater in your town, man. Especially if it's an island.
Yeah, but AC's right there. Whatever. How are you today? You good?
I'm good. Well, you're the movie phone. I want to see you do the movie. This is Andrew Salchunas, Eagles post game. Now playing Jalen Hurts.
Should I do post game in that voice for 3 hours on Sunday?
What's up, brother?
Nothing much. What do you want to get into?
That storm bothered you?
Yes. I lost sleep yesterday.
Dude.
First of all, I'm an idiot. I had you and I have had this conversation before. You're weird where you could have a cup of coffee at 9 o'clock, and if you wanted to go to sleep at like 9:30, you could fall asleep, right?
Yeah,
it's not me. I had a cup of coffee at 4 o'clock yesterday, so I was wide awake. Fell asleep for a total of 10 minutes before the storm started. I had my windows open in my car. So I just sprint outside.
And what time is this?
Like 1:15, 1:30 is when it hit. So I just sprint outside. It just got drenched. And then I was wide awake after that. So I got a good like 25 minutes of sleep last night.
Did you play a little MLB The Show?
I was before I went to sleep, yeah. And then I kind of just laid there on the couch and watched like SportsCenter on a loop. Yeah, it was a good time last night.
Yeah.
These storms, man.
Dude, that woke me up. Like, you know, I watched. Did you watch the game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was locked in.
I bet Herbert, man.
He's going to be so good. He's going to be so good. And the Raiders aren't that bad of a team. I know they only put up 14 yesterday, but 3-1 so far for Oakland.
Yeah, I like them. I mean,
you know, I'm not a big John Gruden guy, but I think Derek Carr is a serviceable quarterback in the league.
I agree.
You know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm not the biggest Derek Carr fan, but I would agree. I like their weapons.
Yeah, me too. But no, Herbert.
I mean, Henry Ruggs is a player, man. Ruggs is.
Oh, yeah.
Ruggs is he's Deshaun Jackson. I mean, you see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a stud.
You know. And Waller is great. You know, they got Jacobs back. So that was good. Yeah, no, dude, you know what's a shame, though? The Chargers. How are they playing in Los Angeles?
You wish they were still in San Diego?
Dude, like, it's not even fair.
Right.
Like, the Raiders, they had to go to silent count because
in their
at
home. Stadium, yeah.
Because
that's crazy.
Because of all the Raider fans. That's insane. That's weird. Don't you think that's weird?
Yeah.
Like, you can't.
It is weird.
Like, pay up. Like, the Rams, I guess, have now, because all the Fugazi Hollywood people, they now have a team, right? But the Chargers got to be in San Diego.
Well, it's even the Rams, too. I mean, like, remember that year when the Eagles went to the Rams and you told the story that they had to hire actors to be there? Like,
yeah, Fox got called the local casting agent.
God, it's ridiculous.
And they called casting agents locally in L.A. And, in fact, my wife's cousin, Mikkel, she has a casting agency. And Fox, and she was, they called her.
Oh, my God.
And they needed, like, people. Dudes.
Yeah.
You know, people, but, like, a lot of guys, too, that could be Rams fans.
Looking for men ages 30 to 40.
Is that insane?
That is crazy. Like, both those fan bases are fake.
Right. But the Chargers are even more fake. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, the Rams are one thing. At least they were there and they come back,
that's
whatever.
True.
But the Chargers are as fake as you can get. But that Herbert, and that's what brings me back to the Eagles. See, the tough thing about Jalen is that we all want him to be the guy.
Yes.
Like, you want him to be the guy. It's just so much neater and easier if he's the guy, and you can focus all your draft on building a really good defense. The only issue is, I just don't know if he is the guy. Like, you know, you look at a guy like Herbert, who is going to win you games. Like, it's a shame, because if it was 20 years ago, you could win with Jalen, right?
Yeah.
But the problem today is, You gotta be able to score. Like, you gotta be able to go down the field. And I know they didn't punt on Sunday, and that was great, and the game plan was really good, and Jalen was terrific. I thought he, you know, again, he stepped into his throws. He went with to the right spot with the football. But you wonder, you know, do you need? And I'm asking the question, because we'll kick it off. Do you need a quarterback who is an elite type of quarterback to win?
Well, here's the thing. So through the first 4 weeks, right, like the quarter poll, are we allowed to call that anymore now that it's 17 games?
Yeah, because the last poll was a little longer,
It hasn't been a disaster, which is a good sign, right? Like, they won the first week, they played San Fran tough, and they were in it last week. I know they scored a garbage touchdown, but they didn't get embarrassed by the Kansas City Chiefs, which is, that's pretty good, right, for a young team and not much talent on defense. They weren't embarrassed. And then, of course, the one really bad game was Dallas. Now, do we want to do moral victories here? I don't know. But in terms of competitiveness, they're 3-1, right? They just are, unfortunately, 1-3 in the actual win-loss column. But when you've seen Jalen Hurts so far, he's been pretty good in 2 of the 4 games. Just like last year, he was pretty good in 2 of the 4 games that he starred in at the end of the season. I don't know if pretty good is going to be enough unless you have a top defense, right? Which the Eagles don't have.
So it was funny. I was talking to somebody yesterday in the league, and we were talking about Hurts, and he goes, "It's a shame because, you know, everybody did the same thing." And he goes, "You know," basically said, "if the Eagles had, like, it's one of the top elite quarterbacks, that offense would be among the best in the league." And when I thought about it, they're not wrong, because if you got a quarterback who can make all the throws, I mean, those three receivers are really good. You know, Rager slots in really nicely.
Yep.
You know, Devontae Smith is stud. Goddard's really good. You still got Ertz. You know, Gainwell's good. Sanders. I mean, that's a good offense.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they can attack downfield. There's a lot of speed here. Obviously, we talk about Quez, but Rager's got some wheels too, especially out of the slot. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to think that way. But then again, he's also put up points, but the defense is such a disaster, right? That I just don't know. Is he going to be a good enough quarterback with a middle-of-the-pack defense to win you something?
Yeah, well, and that's my premise. And the question is, look, I think we can all agree that if he's the starting quarterback for the long haul, he's not an elite quarterback.
No, he's not.
Right? Like, so he's not a top. I mean, you know who the top guys are, right? And Mahomes, Josh Allen, Herbert, Stafford, Russ, Murray.
Rodgers still.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's. So you're going to have about eight guys that are, like, really, really good. He's not a.
Brady.
He's not. Right. But he, but assuming, like, that Brady. Well, I guess he's never going to.
No, dude, he's a cyborg.
So, but assuming, like, he's never really going to crack the top 10.
Correct.
So I think that's a fair statement. Speaking of being objective, I think it's fair to say that Jalen's not a top 10 quarterback in the league. Now, it doesn't mean you can't win if Jalen is a starter and he's a middle of the pack starter. And that doesn't mean you can't win if you got really good skilled people around him and you scheme the offense to his strengths. So he does a lot of good things and your defense is better. Like, so I guess the question would be, after four, what do you see? And then going forward, what do? You would have three options, right? You would go keep Jalen, use those picks to build a defense. And again, I don't think the answer is ready. He's here yet, but it's certainly part of a conversation. Two, you move on from Jalen and draft your quarterback, whether that's, you know, Willis, the kid from Liberty, you know, Matt Corral, you know, Sam Howell, like one of those guys. Now you got to see how the season plays out, right? And number three, there's a quarterback out there that in free agency that comes to fruition, right? Like Deshaun Watson, right? He's able to you trade for him and stuff gets ironed out, right? Like those would be the three options at the end of the season. I don't think we're at any conclusion right now.
No.
But I think, you know, it's healthy to talk about it.
Yeah, and if I'm being real, right, objective, I still have doubts with Jalen Hurts, right? Take the personality out of it, because I know we always talk about how he's a great kid, and we want him to get a fair shot, and that's why he should play in all 17 games. There's no benching. You know, I saw somebody tweeting yesterday that, oh, you know, I see too many people saying that they want to bench Jalen Hurts. I don't see that anywhere. I don't see anyone wanting to bench Jalen Hurts. I think everybody's on the same page here. Let's give this guy the year and see if he's the quarterback moving forward. But right now, I'll tell you, I have my doubts. He can't hit the deep ball consistently. He seems like he's a one-read quarterback. He seems like everything that was negative in terms of his scouting report coming out of college. Now, he's also only played a handful of games. So I will give him the benefit of the doubt. I'll give him the time. But me right now, my heart of heart through 4 weeks of this season, I would imagine he's not the guy moving forward unless you have a top, top defense. And I don't see that happening anytime soon. Now, I know you can attack the defense during the draft because you'll have potentially three first-round picks.
Yeah.
That's going to take some time to groom.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what kind of how I'm looking at it is I make no judgments, right? I make no judgments until the end of the season. And then I look at it, and I think the answer will come to you, right? Like, the answer then comes to us. That's kind of where I'm at.
Listen, he impressed me last week against KC.
I thought he played really well. I thought he played a terrific game. I thought he was decisive. He was not a one-read quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he stepped into his throws. Like, he was really good. Now, again, this is a good test for him. Like, each week is a good test.
Yes.
Right? So, he rebounced in a really good way.
Needed to after that Dallas.
Right?
Yeah.
It moves forward in a really good way. But now, you're playing against Carolina. Now, Carolina is going to be a big test for you.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Because here's the thing. Those receivers are really good. Like, they got a good group of young receivers. So, it's going to be important to make the right decision at quarterback. And, you know, you got to divorce yourself from sentimentality and just completely look at it objectively. And we'll do that as the season goes on. But it's the quarter poll, and we want to analyze all the facets of this team through four games. Where do we stand?
Defense, F. Done.
Yeah, well, it's got to go deeper than that.
Yeah.
Cuz radio with that man, the chewness. And I don't want to lose sight on the Phillies because I miss the like that Red October.
I will be locked in to tonight's game.
Yeah, I know. Me too. But
it
still
sucks.
It does.
I'm going to be locked in and miserable the whole time.
Yeah.
Well, not miserable, but you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Hey, there's a place in Pennsylvania where the aroma of freshly baked bread takes you back to a different time, a kinder, gentler time, a time when families still gather together to enjoy traditional recipes and fresh ingredients. That time and place still exists at Corbelese Bakery and Deli. Yeah, Corbelese, Corbelese, Corbelese. And since 1924, the Corbelese family has been sharing their family's favorite foods and flavors with their favorite Philadelphians. Hand-carved deli meats and cheeses, freshly baked breads, rolls, cookies, pies, you name it, and the world-famous Corbelese tomato pie. Corbelese Bakery and Deli, four locations, Norristown, Limerick, Douglasville, Audubon, where four generations of pride go into everything they make. Here's the deal. They got the stromboli, but the tomato pie is great, and it's great football food, man. Get that Sunday morning, and you got it for the whole day. Just pick at it. It's the greatest. I'm telling you, Corbelese Bakery and Deli, where nostalgia isn't just a word, it's an ingredient. Learn more at CorbelesBakery.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Clock Hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. All right, 10:30. Welcome back. Happy Tuesday. Weird storms waking us up. It's October. I love October, dude. Love it. By the way, I shot another scene in a movie yesterday.
Oh, that's right. With the Sandman.
Yeah, no Sandman yesterday, though.
Okay.
In this scene, he's watching on television. He is like a deposed Sixers executive. Like, he was a coach, and they turned him out to be a scout. And he gets deposed. Like, the owner dies. Like, we love the owner. And the owner dies, and his son kind of takes over. And the Sandman's on the outs, basically.
Okay.
Right? So it's a whole thing. And he goes to Spain, and he finds this dude. It's a great story, right? For us sports heads. And it's a lot of fun. So the Sandman's watching where there was a, like, we dig up some story about where his guy beat up another guy, the whole thing. So I was in the studio. Shout out to our friends at WB17. And my man Vince took care of everything. So we went down and we had a blast. Like,
that's
so
awesome.
He'd be watching me on TV do the report with the GM. And I go, this the kind of guy you want representing the city?
That's great.
Right.
Nice.
And he's like, he's not a part of the Sixers organization.
That's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Dude.
Yeah, my man Jeremiah Cigar, who's the director, an 8th and South kid, man. He's a great story. So the director of the movie is a great dude. I love him. He used to work back in the day at TLA Video. Now, it's funny, right? TLA Video was the best video store in the city.
Okay.
Like, they had all the great movies, like all the independent movies. It was like a movie buff's, like a movie rental place. Like, you know, you're thinking Really? Like a movie rep? You even remember video stores?
Yeah, Blockbuster, man.
All right, I just didn't make sure. So he used to work there. And how about he became a very accomplished director?
That's awesome. Yeah, it's a cool story.
Yeah, and his dad is a great artist in Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
In fact, the house on South Street with the mosaics.
Yeah.
That's his father. His father's an amazing artist.
Did a pretty good job.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a great story. But anyway, so we did that yesterday. And I had my, I had a trailer. Right? Because you can change in the trailer, right? Yeah. You sit around. So I'm sitting there, you're waiting, right? Because the other guy that I was doing the scene with, he had to put a bald thing on his head and everything. So it took some time. So I'm just sitting there. But I got like a TV. I wish I had that in my driveway just to watch games. Like I would just disappear.
Yes.
Where's he at? He's in his trailer watching games. It's the best.
You'd have a whiteboard in the trailer.
I would.
Jotting down plays.
Yeah. That's fun. It's my trailer. Look, they put a little Reese cups in there.
Oh, that's nice.
Little candy assortment. Whoppers.
I like a Whopper.
Do you? I'm anti-Whopper.
I like the Whopper.
Are you?
You can only have a few because that chalky taste after a while.
Yeah, that malted balls.
But I'll crush a few. I'll crush a handful of Whoppers, yeah.
So what would you take? They had the Reese, the Whopper.
Oh, Reese's one seed.
They had several different M&Ms, the regular, the peanut, and the peanut butter.
The regular peanut is now is two on that list. So Reese's one, M&M peanut two.
All right. And then they had the, what was the other one? Sour Patch. And then the...
not a big gummy guy. Well, depending on, you know.
Yeah, man, I was thinking about that the other day. Like, maybe that's why I really like Many Saints and Network.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know.
Let's get back to the phones. Let's go to the... Start it off with the break. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Break.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It's Blake who called in last Friday.
I know, Blakey. What's happening, buddy?
Hey, nothing much. I hope one of you played that Kenneth Gainwell prop bet that day. He got a touchdown.
How about it, Blake?
I called it, man.
We put it into the into our we like to do prop drop where we put together a same game parlay. We had it in there, so that was a good call by you.
Hey, man, that's what I'm here for. So listen, it's good news for you guys and bad news for the Chiefs, but you guys still hung up 30 on them at the end of the day. I mean, if you want to look at the Jalen Hurts stat line by the end of that game.
Yeah, I don't look at stats, so whatever.
Stats
don't mean anything in football.
That's fair. But I do think that Jalen Hurts could be the answer at quarterback, and I think it's too early to make a decision as a franchise to move on from him. And I think that he needs to, you know, get some reps in, see how things go out. I think it could work out for him. The problem that I have, the good news is for the Eagles is as far as things sit right now, you guys have three top 10 picks in the upcoming draft, right?
That's not going to stay because the Colts aren't going to be a top 10 pick.
I would hope not. I would hope for you guys that they would be, but you know.
Yeah, the Colts aren't. I mean, you can't give up a pick. You have to bench Wentz before that happens.
I agree. If they think they have no shot, then they're sitting him and they're keeping the pick.
Right.
But that being said, still looking pretty good to be set up if you got in.
Yes,
I agree.
Definitely.
That the defense is definitely the biggest need on that team. If you can get two cornerstone picks right there, you know, you're going to be looking much better going forward. I have a two-part question for you. The one I have first off is, the problem I have with Howie Roseman is his evaluation of talent. We've seen J.J. Arcega-Whiteside taken over, DK Metcalf. We've seen Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, we already know. You're right. Yeah, I mean, I hear you.
So the problem is that even if you do have the picks, the problem is you have Howie Roseman as your GM, and do you really get the most out of those picks with him as GM? And second, right now, you're feeling at this very moment, going forward as a franchise, would you rather have Devonta Smith or Micah Parsons? That's it.
Yeah, well, that's a good question, man. Listen, we talked about Parsons. I loved Parsons coming out. And, you know, I wanted him. That was my pick. But when they take Devontae, I'm fine. I mean, Devontae's a star. So I have no, I think Parsons is a stud, and I'm jealous, but I feel fine because I think Devontae's a star.
Yeah, and we've been saying for years how, oh, the Eagles need a wide receiver, like a legit wide receiver.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. So. And I think this draft is going to work out. I think this is a good draft.
Well, as long as Dickerson stays healthy, that's the big
one. I mean, he played well.
Yeah. No, he did. Played well, he played very well, but if he's got to stay healthy. Williams looks okay so far, still early on. Gainwell looks very good.
Listen, a guy like Taylor could be really good. Like, physically, he's got a lot of gifts. So I'm curious if he's the, you know, because he could be, like, a guy like him can make that draft.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, so far, the draft looks okay for Howie, the most recent one. I like Devontae.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a good draft. Yeah. I like this draft.
I'm just saying, so, I mean, Dickerson.
See, here's the thing.
Dickerson could get
I agree.
Next
like,
week.
There is some egregious mistakes, right? Like, we agree. I mean, obviously. I mean, this is, you know, the Sega Whiteside is a disaster.
Yeah, awful.
Actually, you know, I mean, I didn't like the Jalen pick, so whatever. But that's kind of working out. I didn't like it, but whatever. Rager is working out in a different way. It's weird because those two guys, I think, can help you, but they're not. They were probably not the right picks at the time.
No, I mean, Justin Jefferson's having another insane start to the season.
Exactly. So,
and like, I know people say, oh, you can't compare. Yes, you can, and you should.
But, you know, here's the thing. Quez Watkins is a great pick.
Yeah.
May Alada was a great pick.
Yep.
You know. So I don't think it's as doom and gloom. Like, here's the thing that I look at. Like, yeah, I can see the track record. I go, yeah, I hear you. I'm with you. I get it. But that doesn't mean you're set up, right?
Yeah, so far, the offense is...
Well, the offense looks
good.
Comes
in form, yeah. Hit on the defense, and you'll get there.
Yeah. Let's go to where are we at. Lamar, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, oh. Lamar.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, I don't know why I let you get my blood pressure going this morning, but you got me, man.
Why?
And I'm going to take you back to when I've been bashing Wentz since the Tunis dad. I think one day I called a couple years ago, and I know Tunis remember right after Tunis' dad, and he had bashed Wentz. And the reason why I bashed him because guys always said, well, what a bad line. He's still putting up 4,000 or 3,000 yards. But I just heard you say 5 minutes ago you don't look at stats.
No. Wait, hold on. I've said that my entire for 20 years. I never, ever talk about stats in the NFL. Never.
Well, what's that?
I never do. And if you listen to me, you should know that.
Okay. Well,
so I don't want to hear any of your nonsense about Wentz. Okay, all right? I don't want to hear.
My call is about Hurts.
Go ahead.
Out of 30 teams in the league right now, there's 15 teams with worse quarterback situations than this guy. Not to mention, the kid just turned 23 in the summer. So to me, you have to be mentally strong to play in Philly. You see Ben Simmons, you see Carson Wentz. They're mental midgets. So to hear all the stuff that people are saying that, oh, he'll never
be. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
When did I ever say he'll never be anything? Other than the only thing I've said is, let's look at him objectively, his pros and his cons. I think it's pretty fair, Lamar. I've said a million times how much I think the kid's a great kid, and I want him to succeed. However, if you have half an eye, you could see where his limitations lie.
Well, you're allowed to have limitations at 22. That's fine.
Okay,
that's,
but some are physical fine. That you can never overcome. So that's what we're talking about here. Yeah, I don't care about the you said 15 other teams or whatever. What I care about is the kid good enough, and this is what we'll find out at the end of the season, to become Justin Herbert, or to become Burrow, or to become one of these guys that can make plays down the field. That's the only thing I care about, and I think it's fair.
No, that's fair. But in my opinion, right now what hurts, I can't say what he can do physically in time because the kid's still growing, he's still young. I don't know what.
Yeah, but your arm talent is your arm talent. I mean, you know, when Trevor Lawrence comes out, he's got arm talent. When Joe Burrow comes out, he's got arm talent. I mean, you could see young players, when Russell Wilson comes out, he's got arm talent.
Okay, but again, you look at Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones got all the
fitness. Daniel Jones stinks.
Yeah, exactly.
He don't have what arm? You like him? You like his arm?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like his arm, but what I'm saying is I feel like you said, it's still too early to tell on Hurts. Right now,
I know you like him. I like him too, and I hope he becomes the guy. But like your attitude of your blood's boil and this and that, take that down the street. You know, because no one is bashing the kid at all. We're looking at it objectively. If you can't look at the kid objectively, then don't have a conversation. And if you hear that you think there's bashing going on in Jalen Hurts, you're flat out wrong. You're taking it personal. You're a fanboy, and you just leave it alone. You don't have to get involved in the conversation. I want to have a real honest conversation. That's what I like. I love the sport, and I want to have an honest conversation. And I think if you were having an honest conversation, you would see the pluses and the minuses. Certain things are not fixable over time in growth. Now, again, we'll see. At the end of the year, I think we'll have a really good idea as to who Jalen is. But I think it's pretty obvious that everyone here is rooting for him. You know why? Because A, he's a great kid, so he's highly rootable. B, you want to use those picks on defense. You don't want to have to use all that capital and go get a quarterback. Like, I don't want that. So I'm going to grade him on a curve to hope that he's the guy. But what you watched Justin Herbert last night, and you watch these quarterbacks, and there's a lot of them. There's like a dozen quarterbacks that are in this elite kind of way. Go through it, right? In this division, you got Dak, all right? Dak is a guy that you can win a Super Bowl with, right? Dak has that kind of quarterback play. Go to the South. I don't know about, other than Brady, I think that's kind of where you're at.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't know about Darnold yet. And
Ryan's cooked,
and so is, and they got James. I mean,
Winston's going to put right up numbers, and that's really
the Bear. And in the North, you got, we'll see about Fields. He's going to be a long-term project, right? Detroit, no.
Rodgers is Rodgers.
And who am I missing? Oh, Vikings. Cousins are right. Like, he's a guy, he's probably next tier. He's kind of like Dak, a little below Dak. In that sense.
Yeah, I would say below Dak for sure.
Right? And then he's that next tier below Dak is my point.
Yeah.
And then out west, you got great quarterbacks, right? So you got Stafford and Russ and Murray. Like, all those dudes are right there. Now, we'll see. Lance is going to be the future in San Francisco. So then when you
that's
keep
three right there.
Like, when you go, like, these are guys that, you know, let's go AFC.
That's in your conference.
Right? Like, when you're looking at the AFC, all those other quarterbacks, the Josh Allens, the obviously Mahomes, Herbert, then you got the young bucks, right? The Burrows and the Trevor Lawrence. Like, these guys are incredibly gifted quarterbacks. Physically gifted quarterbacks. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, does he pan out? I don't know. You know, him or Fields, one of them is going to be good, if not both.
His coach just got to stay out of the bar.
Right.
That's about
well,
it.
Well, when we're looking at it, that's my only beef. You got to look at it along that. Forget about Daniel Jones. I don't want Daniel Jones as my quarterback.
No, he stinks.
But I want Justin Herbert as my quarterback, so I'm hoping Jalen Hurts becomes something along those lines. Obviously, different size and everything else, but you get my point. When it comes to a combo, maybe being able to make a throw down the field from the pocket, that's got to happen. Because you can't win a Super Bowl if you can't make a throw from in the pocket, down the field.
I just don't get why we can't be objective. Like, I saw somebody on the YouTube chat, forgive me, I forget the name. He called me a Jalen Hurts hater because I said I had my doubts.
Nah, I mean, that's just stupid.
I just go, come on, dude. Like,
yeah, that's well, here's the thing. We have a difficult time, you know, if no one's in lockstep with you, you're a hater.
Yes, that's true.
You know, but you know what? That's the mind of a simpleton. I mean, quite frankly, you're unintelligent if that's your take. Like, if you think that South Andrew is a hater of Jalen Hurts, well, you're just a simpleton.
Yeah, I love the kid.
I mean, honestly,
you know,
he's allowed to go, I don't know, man. And I think if you're objective, that's what it is. Now, you might see something else. Like, I'd see all the intangibles. And there's a lot to like. All the intangibles hit.
Like, he made the right read on two end zone passes.
And you got
Zach Ertz, Greg Ward.
You got to get delivered a ball, though.
But exactly. But he made the right read. Like, the read's there.
Like, that's the difference. Again, that's one you got to hit. And that's the difference between actually winning the game and the garbage touchdowns at the end of the game that pad stats.
And I even said Greg Ward, if that's a legit receiver, that's a touchdown. I know he put a lot of zip on that pass, but if that's a legit receiver, it's a touchdown. But you can make the argument that he let it loose. And if he has a little more touch on it, it's a touchdown because regardless. But yeah, no, I'm not being a hater here, man.
Yeah.
It's okay to be objective.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to be fanboy to talk about the sport objectively.
By the way.
Now, the Eagles defense, I think we can all agree that there's a lot of work to be done there.
Yeah. I got something for you that you're definitely going to fanboy over.
Yeah?
ESPN 2 tonight. I know you're locked in on this. They're going to do a stat cast of the Red Sox-Yankees game. They're going to have lots of fun graphics and numbers. Are you in? It's basically the analytic dream.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I saw it pop up and I was like, damn, Anthony can't wait for this one.
It's my hell.
Dude.
It's my hell.
I
wake up.
I'm going to check it out.
And I'm surrounded by stat dudes that don't understand the sport.
I'm going to check this out. I'm going to send you some notes.
That's like in my hell. That's what happens. I wake up and there's. See, I look at someone. And I just hear numbers, like clicks, like pressing the buttons.
The calculator?
Yeah. They're like, it's like little rat feet. Oh. Let's go Bagsters. Let's go Bags to Bag, baby. Yes. Are you working on renovations for your home? You get a new roof. You're organizing the garage, the attic. Maybe you're working on a little landscaping action. If that sounds like you, let me tell you about the perfect cleanup solution for all these projects and much, much, much more. It's the Bagster. By far the most convenient and affordable way to help with your cleanup. Look, the Bagster, what a product, right? A 3-cubic-yard dumpster in a bag sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, local home improvement stores, all your hardware stores, for just $29.99, it's only $29.99. Guess what? It holds 3,300 pounds of waste. So it's got all the girth of the metal unsightly dumpster, but it's a bag. It's easy. You buy it, you spread it out, and you fill it at your leisure. Buy, fill, and just schedule your collection, and poof, it's gone, Pat Egan. Just gone. No time limits, completely on demand. Go to thebagster.com. to find the store nearest you for more details. Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up with a Bagster. Dumpster in the back.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 11 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. Listen, let me just say one thing because the last segment. So, thanks, Lamar, for the call. And I just want to be sure one thing. Julius and I, one of the reasons why we, like, really get along, right? And we really, when the minute we started working together, we started to mesh well. It was like kismet because we both love sports. Like, truly, what's in our heart is that we love sports. Now, listen, I could be wrong a million times, right? There's a basis for my opinions, right? Like Wentz. I liked Wentz. You know why I liked Wentz? Because he was big and he had a big arm, right? And he could make every throw. And we saw some eye-popping throws. Now, again, he never progressed. He held on to the ball too long. He got hurt after, he got injury after injury after injury. And he was stubborn. And I still don't think he got the best coaching. And he didn't have the best weapons around him. But he was his worst enemy. And the reason why he didn't pan out as a franchise quarterback, an elite quarterback, is because of his shortcomings, not physically, but his shortcomings, stubbornness, refusal to get rid of the ball, right? All that stuff. I mean, that's what was his downfall. And then he gets so banged up, you look at him, he's just a banged up mess. Simmons, I was wrong on Simmons. When you look at a 7-foot specimen, I never thought he was going to be banging jumpers like Harden, but I thought that he would do the obvious, which is attack the rim and go to the line and be part Giannis, part point guard. But unfortunately, we saw the lack of character. So I'm not sitting on some hill telling you I know best. And I don't know. I just give you an opinion. It's not born out of hate, all right? Like, I don't know how many more times to say it, that what's not to love about Jalen Hurts as a guy? Takes responsibility, smart, just an ultimate team dude. I mean, he's got all those intangibles, and he's lovable. So I can tell you all day long I'm rooting for him, but when Lamar calls up and says, you got my blood boiling, why? Because I question whether or not he could be the answer, because he does. There's some arm issues that come into play, or whatever you want to call it, and you can see it. Now, I hope he overcomes it, but I don't know. I'm just giving you an opinion, and I could be wrong. You could win. Who knows? Maybe you can just win with him as is. You don't need to be Wilson or Murray or, you know, Mahomes, Allen, all those guys, Herbert, that can make all those other throws. I don't know. Maybe you can. I'm just giving you my opinion. So there's no reason to let your blood boil, and there's no reason to call Tunis a hater, because he actually cares. Like, his opinion is honest. And that's what I hope you come to the show for.
It's funny you bring that up. Opinion is honest. You and I were talking a few commercial breaks ago. This is before Lamar even called in, about we just know some people, not here, but we know people in the area that sort of sold their soul to saying things just to get a reaction, or writing things just to get a reaction. Now, we're not doing that. We are using our eyes and going, all right, this is what I'm seeing so far. So yes, this show is all about honesty.
And it doesn't mean that we're gonna be right all the time. I mean, obviously we talk to people, and you know, you build up a long time, and you know, watch a zillion games, and you get all that stuff, right? So it's educated. It's an educated opinion, but I'm not telling you we're certainly fallible. But my only point to you is that, I know I do, and I know the Tunis does. We respect you guys too much to give you anything other than an honest opinion about every player in this town, about how we feel about these teams, about these executives. We just give you an honest opinion because you deserve that. You come here every day. I want to, A, treat you with respect, gratitude. I love friendship, and we've developed so many such great, you know, friends with this show. Like, I wanted the show to be that. and there's going to be disagreements, and it always happens during football.
Of course.
Because that's where the, you know, everybody thinks they're an expert, and everybody knows whatever this and that, and the opinions clash, and that's all fun. But just know that what we tell you is what we believe, and there's no, we don't, we're not dishonest when it comes to our opinion. And I'd be happy to tell you, hey, man, look, that kid became a Pro Bowler. That's awesome.
Right. I'm glad I was
like,
wrong.
Listen, I never liked Doug Peterson as a coach. I mean, truth be told, I never liked him.
Yeah, and you were honest about that for a few years.
And I still don't think he's a good coach. I think they all caught lightning in a bottle, and it was good. And I think he's better off as a coordinator. I mean, I think he's a very... Or if he's a head coach who has coordinators under him. Because I think he can be that head coach guy, but he needs coordinators that are dealing with a lot of the play design and play calling and that sort of thing. Because I do think, as I think he's a great leader, and I love him as a guy, but I don't think he's a good, but he won a Super Bowl. What does that mean? I don't know. Does that make me change my opinion? It doesn't. You know, I liked Andy Reid as a coach. It took him a long time before he won a Super Bowl. And I just think the guy's competent. Like, you can see competency.
Yeah.
So when we talk about stuff, it's completely, we just try to connect with you guys and try to be real with you. Because I don't think you would want us to be, like, faking opinions just to appease you. I mean, that's not respect. I don't want to be appeased.
Right.
You shouldn't want to be appeased.
How many arguments did we get in about the whole, like, Nola Wheeler thing this year? You know, I don't want to sit here patting myself on the rear end. I think Nola's actually better than what he showed us this year. Like, I think he could have a somewhat of a bounce back season next year. But he's not an ace. He doesn't have ace stuff. He was just the ace of this staff for a couple of years when it was supposed to be a rebuild, which Matt Klentak stunk at. But we were honest from the very beginning about it. Like, look, this guy could be a very good number two, three in this league. And it goes that way for all sports. And hopefully, again, I want to be wrong about Jalen Hurts. I hope Jalen Hurts is a top 10 quarterback. But from what I've seen so far, I don't see that to be the case. I have my doubts. But I'm also not saying to bench him through 4 weeks of the season. He gets 17 games this year, man. Prove me wrong.
Well, anyway, I'm glad. I'll never pander to you because I think it's disrespectful. Let's go to where we at? Dwayne in Richmond. D-Wayne, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, man, you and Tune have got my blood boiling now. Now, you know, man, you should. You guys. I mean, anybody who listens to you guys. You guys shouldn't have to sit here and explain that. You know, that's. You shouldn't even have done it, man. You don't have to. For the people who listen to you, man, you guys don't have to explain that, man. You guys talk real ball. It doesn't matter who it is. I mean, if people can realize how much you love Ben Simmons, and now you're coming out saying the stuff about Ben Simmons. I mean, come on. You fought for him for how long?
Oh, the whole thing. I mean, we want to talk about the kid broke my heart.
Yeah. You know, I mean. Hey, man, let those guys fall to the wayside. Let's talk some football.
Let's do it, baby.
Can Jalen Hurts win the shootout? No, he cannot. We saw that against Dallas, right? Now, you can blame it on the coaching. You maybe can blame a little bit on the offensive line. But my thing is, can you win a shootout? This RPO offense, I don't think you can do it consistently and win in the league.
Yes.
And
yes.
You talked about his arm talent. Let's be honest. With, like I said, even, okay, he played well against Kansas City. But can Jalen Hurts be accurate? You know, and maybe that's with timing. I understand he's young, but I'm telling you, Jalen Hurts is auditioning for other teams right now because there will be another starting quarterback in Philly next year. If it's a rookie, I think they want to get rid of him because of, you know, the command he has in the locker room, how everybody loves Jalen Hurts. But I'm sorry, like you said, you can't, you know, that arm talent, you see it every game, even when he plays well. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. And I'm one of the biggest Jalen Hurts fans.
I know.
I was defending him last year when I was like, yo, he was thrown into the game. He didn't get the reps. His passer rating was down because most of it is throwing it away. So I was defending
him. Yeah, he didn't have great receivers.
He didn't have great receivers. But now I think he's limiting our receivers. to be honest.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and say, you know, I love Jalen Hurts. I think he's auditioning. He would be a great backup here, but he's not the answer because you can't win a shootout. You can't do
so
it.
So this is my let me ask you a question about when we kind of analyze it. Like, to me, where to look at him is red zone, right? Because the field shrinks. Like, you can go flats all day long, right, and matriculate the ball down the field. But once they squeeze you, once you're in the red zone and the field shrinks, that's when you got to hit Ertz or you got to hit Ward. Like, those throws, you got to hit those guys because the field shrinks and you got to convert on plays like that. You're going to have more success going short when you're, you know, going down the field than you will in the red zone.
Right. Well, one more thing. You spoke to it. Do you remember the Giants game when we was trying to, I think we was making a playoff. That's the game Boston Scott had an awesome game against the Giants at home.
Yeah.
And then Carson Wentz hit Zach Ertz in the middle for the go-ahead win touchdown. If you think about it, like you said about Carson Wentz, you know, mentality, whatever, he had the arm. Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz was in the middle, doing in the end zone a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, they scored a lot. Jalen Hurts, they're always throwing to the left or to the right. It's never in the middle. And that's because he don't have the arm or, you know.
And the size. It's tough, too, from the pocket.
Yeah.
Because you're smaller and, you know, you're going to get balls batted down.
Right. So, you know, I love the kid. Like you said, he's a great kid. And I think that's why everybody's getting
I know. I understand it. Like, I, you know, I feel bad. Listen, I feel bad, too. Like, when we're going to analyze it, you know, I'm trying to analyze and want to curve, but it's sometimes you look at it and you go, damn, like, and I thought he played well Sunday. Like you said, I agree with that. It's just, you know, you wonder, you get to the precipice. I'm watching Herbert last night. I'm going, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, he's beautiful. So I just want to see, before I go, let's not see him with RPOs. I know Nick got a win.
Yeah.
I know all that. But let's see if he can drop back and be a consistent thrower. And my thing is, if I'm Howie, I'm saying, hey, let me see it, because this year, to me, is about him. Let's see it. And in the Dallas game, he couldn't do it. And that was just a great defense, you know, a good defense. So
yeah, I'm with you, Dwayne. But, thanks, brother. Always a pleasure, man. I love talking ball with you.
Always. Okay.
I bet. Tonight, imagine if the Phillies are playing. Or it'll be tomorrow night.
It'll be tomorrow night.
Because I'm looking at Aaron, and Aaron wants to talk about October baseball.
I just looked at the picture.
And I'm getting wistful. Aaron!
Hey, first of all, I would like to tell you, Aunt, man, my daughter got married Saturday, man.
Oh!
Wow, man.
Really? You gave away your angel?
Yeah, I gave her away, man.
You were like the Don, man, on the day of my daughter's wedding. Did you get favors?
Yes, it was a beautiful time, man.
Oh, God bless you, brother.
Yeah, you know, the second daughter I took down the aisle, waiting for a couple more to go down the aisle, but that was a,
how many you got? You got four daughters?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Sons, man, I was fruitful and multiplied, man.
You got seven altogether?
Yes, sir.
Damn! Aaron, yes, you got seven!
My
God, I can't imagine two! You got seven! Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, man, but... Ant-Man, dude, you don't got to, you know, say this about Jalen Hurts, because I feel the same way.
No, I'm just talking about in general. I sensed it. So I just want to say it. So in general, what the aim is, like, because I'm a big believer in not and being as truthful as you can get, right? Like, let's just try to just be real with our opinions.
Yeah, that's all you can do on radio, man. I don't want no fake Anthony.
I mean, like, you know, I mean, listen.
I will call you out.
Yeah, I know, and you should. I wish, listen, as my old head, you should.
And, you know, and I said some stuff, man, you'd be like, oh, my God, hey, what are you talking about? You know, man, I understand it.
Yep.
And, you know, we just want the guy, man, to make these throws, man, like I see the other young quarterbacks doing right now. Just make those throws. And you got good receivers. I don't care what nobody.
Yeah, I like the receivers. I do. Yeah.
And you can grow with them, man. Just make them, just lead passes, put them where they got to go at, to tight ends and all that. You know what I mean? Just do that, and then we can look at him later on. But right now, we just don't know. So all them people calling and say they know, I don't know.
So tell me, do me a favor, because I got to get a little baseball in. Are you missing the October baseball?
Yeah, I'm Mr. October, man. I love October baseball. I love it, man. And I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm a Dodgers fan on the low.
Are you really?
I'm a Dodgers fan.
Wow.
And I can't put it out there like that all the time, man. I'm a Dodgers fan on the low. I like the Dodgers. I always did, even when I was a kid. I like the Dodgers.
Wow.
But I just enjoy October baseball because it's so beautiful, man. And every hit means something. Every pitch means something. It just looks good, man, with the sky and everything. And, you know, nighttime baseball, it just looks great.
And I know. It does look great. Like, you know, it's like that chill, years, too. The chill in the air. No, you're right.
And not to see the Phillies in it. And Andrew, you know, I'm just as sad as you are. Not to see our team, you know, move up to some October baseball. I don't even care to get in there for a little bit. I just want to see some October baseball because it's one of the best things. My favorite sport is baseball. Yeah. And I don't even put it out there like that.
I know.
I love baseball. You know what I mean? But, you know, we got to go through the good, the bad, and the ugly. And hopefully it gets good. Hopefully they start, I mean, they just hired that guy to do some scouting. And I hope that he's
the Mattingly's son.
Yeah,
yes.
We got to get some Latin players in here that could play some baseball.
Yes.
Something.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's not, you know, I want to see good baseball.
I know, brother.
There's something wrong with that?
No. Listen, congratulations with your daughter.
Yeah,
that's beautiful,
man.
Brother. You take care of yourself, brother. Man. That's cool. Yeah, man, it's been too long.
Yeah, a decade. And
they made the playoffs. Like, again, you expanded the playoffs.
I was in high school. I was in high school, man.
You were in high school.
Yeah.
God forbid. That accentuates it.
Yeah. I read the tweet last week that somebody put out. I forget who it was. My apologies. But they said people who are graduating high school this year, they were in second grade when they saw the Phillies in the playoffs last.
Oh, my God. That's so bad.
And like you said, they expanded the playoffs. Last year, they had two teams in each division make it in the bogus playoffs. They couldn't even make that because the Marlins made it. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, this is enough. And here's the thing. Can you turn this team into a playoff team next year?
Oh, we kind of touched on it yesterday.
But can you do it?
If you bring in, and I'm saying this not as Phillies fan Andrew. I'm saying this is trying to actually analyze everything that happened this year. It's another year, second year in a row, where they, if you cut half of their blown saves in half, they're in the playoffs. I know that's very, it sounds so much
easier
to do.
Well, not really, because the Braves also have blew a lot of saves.
No, you're right, but I'm just saying from a very minute level, if you cut the Phillies saves in half, just like last year, they're in the playoffs. I also can't help but go, all right, if you bring in one of those veteran arms that we talked about yesterday, the Greinkes, Verlanders, I don't know how much they're going to cost, that, you know. But you also did start the season with, once again, Vince Velasquez in the rotation. Zach Eflin gets hurt again. Matt Moore was in the rotation. It was pretty ugly until Ranger Suarez actually came in. Now, do I think Ranger Suarez is going to have a 1.5 ERA next year? No. I don't.
But you know, he reminds me of that lefty who's like got sneaky velocity.
Yeah, he's pumping 95.
Like he's good. Like, I think he could be a staple in your rotation.
No, me too. I just
he
don't
could
think
be a four in your rotation.
I don't think he's got a 1.5 ERA next year. But if you go Zach Wheeler, veteran arm that you bring in free agency, Nola Gibson Suarez or Suarez Gibson, whatever way you want to go, that's not bad. And that's a lot better than Nola, Wheeler, Eflin, Matt Moore, Chase Anderson. He was your number five starter at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's terrible.
That's bad.
He couldn't finish
Chase
the season on this team.
Anderson.
We were happy when he gave you four innings.
He was horrible.
And then eventually became Velasquez again.
But here's the thing, again, can you, okay, we know about the pitching staff, we know about the bullpen, but can you replenish, because you're going to have to fix the lineup, too.
No, you do, and there's going to be guys out there like McCutchen, unless he wants to come back for cheap. I don't know if he does. He might want to try to get one more payday before he's out of here. You know, you can't have Ronald Torres in your everyday lineup. Listen, he was a fun story this year, and he helped them out. He saved them a few games. But he can't be an everyday player. Is Bohm going to work on his swing this offseason? I would imagine that he does. I don't think he's going anywhere. He's going to be on the team next year. The question is he returned to sort of rookie year Bohm, or is he still what we saw this year, which was a mess?
Yeah.
And you saw it. Remember that I showed you that video. He struck out, and it was during that Diamondback series in Arizona when they got swept. And as he's walking off the field, NBC, great job by the cameraman, saw Alec Bohm's face, and you could read his lips saying, "I can't bleeping hit." Like, it was just like he was messed up mentally at the plate. And so, I don't know. Maybe he has a great offseason and is your third baseman with Pop again next year. But who knows?
His gloves, his gloves
awful.
It's terrible. All right. We got lots to get to. Coming up, because we're doing the Eagles at the quarter pole, and we know there's 17 games. But we're doing coaches look at four-game increments. It's a great way to self-scout. So I'm going to look at the Eagles through the four-game increments. And let's go to the... We'll continue with the Hurts talk and the whole thing. But I want to continue with their D-line. I want to start on the defense with their defensive line. What have they been like?
Also,
Jeff McClain's going to join us.
I also have a thread of tweets from Michael Silver about inside the locker room in Jacksonville right now with Urban Meyer. It could be done soon, dude.
Are you serious?
He spoke with some players, obviously anonymously, but he's become a joke inside the locker room, according to Michael Silver.
Wow, I want to hear that. Wow. That thing's Urban Meyer's going to blow himself up.
How many weeks?
Four! Wow, that's amazing. Cuz Radio Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic.
And this is Andrew South. Tunis, look, nobody's perfect, even Urban Meyer. Best baseball players, they strike out, the bases load. Best
that's what
golfers,
Urban said.
Sometimes three-putt. Well, you know what? If you feel like coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, well, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. You go to GetRoman.com/Andrew now. And with Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, it'll ship to you free with just two-day shipping. The whole process, it is straightforward and it's discreet. Roman knows that that's important to you. Getting started is simple. You just go to GetRoman.com/Andrew and complete an online visit. Once again, it's GetRoman.com/Andrew. Take care of your ED without leaving the comfort of your own home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/Andrew. Once again, GetRoman.com/Andrew. And when you do, you'll get $15 off your first month. There's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/Andrew. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Across the Delaware Valley. Of course, our 11 o'clock hour is brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. All right, it's the quarter, Paul, kind of going through it all, kind of looking at it, you know, assessing where they're at, what you've seen over the first 4 weeks. And before we get back to the phones, let's do that with the man who covers the Eagles for the Inquirer. Inquirer.com. He does a fantastic job. I love conversations with him each week. Jeff McClain. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Yeah, still morning.
So, I love your matter-of-fact answer. Yep. Let's start off Lane. Well, any idea what's going on with Lane? Are we going to be able to see Lane Sunday? What's happening?
Yeah, it's still personal reasons from the team. I've heard some things, but I can't report them yet.
Okay. All right. Can you answer this? Do you think he'll play Sunday?
I think they'll be able to get him out there.
What's that?
I think they'll be able to get him out there.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. So you give him a 50-50 chance of suiting up?
Maybe better than 50-50.
Okay. All right. Overall, the offensive line, I thought really played well, considering I thought Dickerson played well in switching the opposite side. I thought Driscoll did a very good job. I think Diller's been pretty good. Now, you're going to face a much different test against the Carolina front than Kansas City, but I thought they acquitted themselves pretty good.
Yeah, I would agree. Nick, not only in having the quick passing game, helped out Jalen Hurts, it also helped out the offensive line. So you weren't putting them in too much of a bind, especially early on as you're building up Jalen's confidence and building up their confidence as well. Because, that was a tough task for Driscoll, who had practiced at right guard the entire week, and all of a sudden last minute, he's got to move to right tackle. Now, that's probably a little more natural for him than playing inside.
Right.
But that being said, this was his first game action of the year, and he did a good job. And Dickerson, a little bit better than we've seen in the first two games. Herbig, maybe some struggles, and that's why you saw them choose Driscoll ahead of Herbig when they had the original alignment of who was going to play at right guard. But all in all, I thought they did a good job. Nick Sirianni obviously confirmed as much, and we all know how he's been able to juggle things over the last several years.
Yeah, he's a great coach. Yeah.
Just another example of it.
Yeah, he's incredible. What a great coach. I liked the game plan a lot. I thought the game plan was smart. You even said it, get the ball out, go, hit the flats, hit them hard. And, I thought Jalen really, I think, executed the game plan well, stepped into his throws. And, I thought they acquitted. Is the Sanders thing, if I want to nitpick, I thought around the goal line they could have got Sanders at least a little taste of the end zone there by running the ball. But what do you think of where they're at with Sanders? Is he getting frustrated?
Yeah, he spoke last week and, he kind of, was willing to talk because he said he wanted to kind of, temper all the, the noise out there about him not getting enough touches. And, he's always been kind of a team first guy, at least publicly, has never really questioned the coaches about how much he's being used or not being used. And that's kind of, the way he handled the interview last week. I will say this. He did mention how he does believe that, you got to run the ball to have some success in the NFL. I wasn't really alarmed by, he had seven carries. They moved into the red zone on 7 of 8 possessions. So, the established the run people, that.
Nah, listen, they didn't punt, so you can't attack the red. But my only question is, what's Sanders, his mindset right now? Because, first of all, Gainwell, they trust him more in the pass game. You see kind of routes he runs. They're incredible. And, my only question is, where's his head at?
What's his future here? I think it's fair. This is the guy that year one, you're thinking showed a lot of versatility, dynamic, obviously in the passing game. You need some work in the run game in terms of, how he hit the hole and not taking things outside. I think he's got better in that regard. Gainwell is, I think, probably, as you mentioned, a better pass catcher, runs better routes than Miles. That's something that he struggled with. But I would say Miles, he hasn't dropped a pass yet. We saw in training camp that was an issue. Last year, obviously, was an issue. So he's gotten better in that regard. And in terms of running the ball, it's just not something that they've really had to do much of. The Chiefs, to some surprise, played a lot of too deep. They blitzed, and that was kind of their game plan. They would play back a little bit and then blitz Hurts. So there wasn't really much reason, I mean, I thought there was obviously a reason to run, but I think what they did was they just supplemented the run game with the short passing game, which is, you know.
The extension of the run game. Andy always did that.
Yeah. Right, and there were a fair number of RPOs that took away from Sanders getting the ball. But, yeah, I mean, you have to, if you're Sanders, you have to wonder what, you know, is your role lessening? And we know running backs. I mean, typically you're not going to give many guys a second. You got to be a real stud if you're going to get a second contract. And now you have to just wonder. I mean, look, Miles is under contract for another 2 more years, including this year. So, you know, I'm not looking that far ahead. I think there will be games when they rely on him. But right now, yeah, you have to kind of wonder, you know, what's his role and you know, what's the fit in? How's he fit in with Gainwell kind of taking over at least the passing game part?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think this is a week where you're going to need Sanders, right? When that defense is really that's a good defense, man. And I think you're going to need to run the ball. And I think you'll see a little more of that.
Yeah, I think you'll see a little more of that. I haven't really kind of dug deep into looking at it yet, so
yeah,
can't say exactly for certain.
All right, defensively, we're talking to Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Defensively, I know Nick was not happy with a lot of the coaches and the game plan and the whole thing. You know, he was kind of mad at what happened. And I'm curious what you think. And again, against Kansas City, I mean, I agree with playing too deep. I'm just surprised that Tyreek Hill just buried him and got behind him.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a surprise that they did. They played too deep to account for Tyreek getting over them, and they shaded coverage towards Kelsey. So that was how they handled those two guys. But there's just bigger issues with this defense right now. I think some of it is the scheme that they're using, and does Jonathan Gannon have the right personnel to run the 3-4? I think it's kind of taking away from the skill set of guys that they have up front. It's supposed to be the deepest position they have, and they haven't been particularly great, especially against the run. That also includes the entire defense. I mean, stopping the run is a team defense thing, and the linebackers are certainly playing a role in them struggling. I mean, some of the holes that they were running through were just astounding. But so I think there's that issue, and I think there's also, you know, a personnel issue. I mean, you're just basically, again, up the middle. I sound like a broken record, but they don't have the guys up the middle. And teams are just attacking that area.
Well, soft belly. I agree with you, man. And then look, I mean, you know, you're talking about two guys, and Fletcher Cox shouldn't be this quiet. I mean, he's been really quiet. I mean, I get Kerrigan, he's done, but geez, I mean, come on, Fletch.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a 2-3 year thing with Fletcher. Yeah. And, you know, I've written about it and I've taken some heat from Fletcher and from other people. But this is something that the team has been concerned about, or people who have previously worked for the team about Fletch.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's getting paid. He's got the highest salary in the team. That's not his fault. That's a Howie Roseman thing. He's kicked the can down the road far too often with Fletcher and has guaranteed all this money. And, you know, on a contract that even when it was signed was kind of a little bit of an alarming deal for the Eagles to agree to. Fletch has been a great player for this franchise. He'll end up being on the Ring of Honor. But what you're seeing right now is a regression for someone who's 30 years old. That typically happens. And I think you're seeing a scheme that really, again, at this point in his career, he's last 5 years, he's played in a penetrating one-gap defense. He loves to pin his ears back. He loves to be in that three-tech position.
Uh-huh.
And he's not there all the time.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder how that's factoring. Now, look, you got to go out there and play. You got to play hard all the time. But you got to wonder how that's factoring in the Fletch. And also, are you putting him in the best positions to succeed? Are you creating opportunities for Fletch to do his thing? But that being said, watching the film, I'm doing a story on him right now.
Yeah.
This isn't Fletcher Cox that we know.
No.
You know, he's not fighting through double teams. And again, that whole narrative about him getting double teamed all the time is just complete fiction. It's, you know, I mean, they're probably shading protection towards him a little more, but, you know, they shade protection towards a lot of guys just because that's where the play's going or that's where they're going away from or that's just football. And he is getting a lot of one-on-one opportunities in both the run and pass, and he's not capitalizing on them as much as he used to.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it goes back to the I think talent level on the defense. I mean, you just got no playmakers, man. You look at it. I mean, they're going to struggle getting consistent pressure without bringing an extra guy. Their back end, I mean, other than Slay, I mean, it needs a lot of work.
Well, I mean, you know, Sweat's a playmaker. Hargrave's been a playmaker. Fletch should be a playmaker. But I think, again, this scheme takes a little bit away from what those guys can do. Because they were drafted or brought here to be penetrating defensive linemen, and they're only doing that about half the time. The other thing I would expect them to see more of is Davion Taylor.
Yeah, they love him.
He's got some upside.
Yeah.
He's got some upside. He's got a lot to learn still, and he can't seem to stay healthy. But at least in terms of someone kind of covering ground and being able to cover or run with tight ends and running backs out of the backfield, I would just start kind of, you know, because again, right now, the other linebackers just aren't getting the job done.
No, I expect them to incorporate him because I was talking to somebody the other day, last night, in fact, about him, and I am expecting more of him to get infused because he's a chance. Here's a guy, like, he's got a chance to be a real factor. He's just very raw.
Yeah, and then he's the third round pick. I mean, he's got to start playing. And again, there's no reason to kind of say, okay, well, our linebackers are doing a great job.
Right.
They are not.
Right. Now, I'm with you. Brother, I know you get the coordinator. So great conversation as always. We love you. We'll be following you, reading you. You know the deal.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. See you, brother. Jeff McClain, inquiry.com. And it makes a lot of sense because I know Nick wasn't happy about, you know, what transpired. And I agree with, look, I'm going to play my safeties. You know, I'm playing too deep all day long. I'm going to be in Jersey. I'm so deep. But the problem is you can't get the Tyreek dominate the game.
Yeah, 186 yards.
You know, he still got behind.
He almost reached 200 yards, man.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is, like, you got no...
Yeah, that's Eric why, Wilson playing man coverage on Tyreek Hill in the red zone.
I know, that's horrible.
That can't happen.
Yeah, and that's why Taylor, you're going to see Taylor. Now, this defense is going to be a work in progress, I'm telling you.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It's going to be a work in progress. And you're going to see them incorporate changes, and you're going to see all that. But look, you know, Fletcher is a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, and Jeff straight up said it. The fact that people say he's double teamed every play is just straight up fiction at this point. It's not a good sign. And I mentioned it yesterday. There was a play last week where he got pancaked. When have we ever seen Fletcher Cox get pancaked in a play? Like, that never happened.
No.
And he's not old, but we went through his games played. He's missed, three or four
games?
We
talked about regression earlier, and Jeff used the same word.
Yeah, it's just a lot of tread on those tires, man. That's scary because it's early in the season, man. It's not like this is week 12.
I know. No, it's something you're going to have to really, really worry about. I'm serious. You know, but again, that's why I'm curious because I want to see Taylor. I want to see what they got.
You just
got
to stay healthy.
You know, I'm curious about what they got in him.
All right. Would you like Shad Khan's statement first or the Mike Silver thread of tweets?
Give me the Mike Silver thread of tweets, and then I'll then give me the Shad Khan, who's the owner of the Jaguars.
Here's the thread. One of five. The Urban Meyer situation in Jacksonville has reached a crisis point, especially in their locker room. One player told me, quote, he has zero credibility in that stadium. He had very little to begin with. Tweet number two. Players were particularly put off by the fact that Meyer canceled Monday's team meeting as he dealt with the uproar over the videos of him and a young woman getting cozy in that Ohio bar. Quote, he even canceled the team meeting. He was too scared, a player said.
Oh, my God.
Tweet number three.
Oh, that's bad, dude.
Instead, Meyer, quote, only apologized to position groups individually. He portrayed the woman in the videos as a random person who was just there dancing. Suffice to it say, his audience was highly skeptical. Tweet number four, one player said, quote, we looked at him like, what the bleep? Right when he left, everyone started dying laughing, and he knew it. Tweet number five, bottom line, quote,
wow.
It's a bad situation. I don't know how it's going to function.
Oh, man. What is he thinking?
Yeah. And somebody put out a list of all the things that Meyer has done since being hired in Jacksonville. Hiring a coach who recently got in trouble for having racist remarks as one of the coaches in Iowa. Apparently, the Tim Tebow thing didn't go over well with people that he signed to play tight end, probably just because he's got the connection. Like, apparently, there was already beef with the whole Tebow situation. I didn't even know this. He apparently, they drafted Travis Etienne, the running back.
Etienne.
He apparently...
He's a kid from Clemson.
Right, but he apparently openly admitted that he wanted Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, that's not
after,
smart.
After drafting the running back, he then goes, yeah, well, we wanted Kadarius Toney. Yeah. You can't do that, dude.
No.
Yo, button up there,
guy. No, that's, you know, he doesn't know the league. He's out. He belongs in his little fiefdom in college. You know, certain guys just, they just belong in college. You know, like it's funny. Chip belongs in college. Like I said it a long time ago, a guy like Matt Rhule, right? And, you know, I mean, forget I love him and all. Matt was a pro guy. Like Matt relates to players. He started off with the Giants as an assistant O-line coach, right? Like, he straddled both worlds. Like, he understood, right, you know, both the NFL and college football. And he's a rare guy that is really a pro coach, but is able to take, like, he knows players. See, Matt, you look at Temple, right? The reason why Temple, he was so good under Matt was because he knows players. He understands, like, he can look at talent. Like, you remember I used to get upset about Doug at times, about not knowing who's on the roster? About how many times did I tell you guys should play, and then they finally started playing weeks later? And I'm some idiot, right? But, like, you got to give Boston Scott. Remember I go, you got to give Boston Scott a shot. I want to see a little bit more of him. I want to see more Quez. I want to see Ward. Look, I mean, seriously, there were guys that needed to see. See, Matt knows talent, and that's a huge deal. Urban Meyer, he's a fiefdom guy. You know, he has all his minions of a legion of coaches, recruiters. He's the closer, comes in. You know, he's like a CEO guy. He's not down in the dirt,
right?
You know what I mean? He's a CEO guy. Matt is a trenches guy. He's digging deep into the trenches. He knows talent. He's looking at talent. He knows talent in college, and he knows talent in the NFL. That's why it worked out that he picked all defensive guys in his draft. He hit on those. That's a great defense that he's got built there. Like, he can see, like, that's a big advantage when you know the league like that. And you know college. And you're not a fight, you're not like a, you know, a fiefdom guy like Urban Meyer. What did Cy Khan say?
It was just like a typical statement. I've addressed this matter with Urban. Specifics of our conversation will be held in confidence. What I will say is his conduct last weekend was inexcusable. I appreciate Urban's remorse, which I believe is sincere. Now he must regain our trust and respect. That will require a personal commitment from Urban to everyone who supports, represents, or plays for our team. I am confident he will deliver.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck there, Saad. All right. Matthew Saad Muhammad. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us. Got a couple open lines. You want to grab them. Back to the quarter pole and what you've seen from the Eagles. What do you like? What don't you like? Look at both sides of the ball. Look at different units. We'll do kind of dissect it. Cuz Radio Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's talk Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Well, you have to, you know, you're going to look about betting all the games. You got to look no further than the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Like right now, you can look at games for Sunday. And you can check out what you like. Look at Thursday night. Thursday night's a good one. Rams and Seattle, which is a great game. In fact, the big brain on Brad, who's the betting analyst at Parks, already says go over Russell Wilson 1.5 touchdown passes. He likes Lockett over the receiving yards. You know why? And it's a sound move. Because you look at Metcalf, and you know that Ramsey's going to be on Metcalf, and that'll give Lockett a lot more catches, a lot more, for Russ, a lot more feasibility. So you could see that. So, but they have, Parks has all these bets, right? So the sports book, you can do anything, in-game stuff. You can do all the same game parlays or the props and, you know, teasers, you name it. You can toggle the spread. Check it out. Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Go to parkscasino.com/PA. Promo code Fanatic. You get a risk-free bet of $50 just by signing up. And just sign up. No deposit required. And they'll give you a risk-free $50 bet. You got to be in PA. You got to be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's noon. Happy lunchtime. All right, I give you the defense. What do you do, Junis? Because you can see some changes on Sunday. I can totally see Taylor playing on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. You know, they're a mess right now. They're not getting enough pressure at all. And, you know, they got to, I would imagine they start bringing a little bit more people home because it's been very four-man rush, three-man rush for the Eagles so far. And, you know, you and I talked about it last week, and you said you can't blitz Patrick Mahomes, right? And I understand why. But you should probably bring a little bit to Sam Darnold this upcoming week because it's not like not bringing pressure has helped, right? They're just doing a four-man rush, and they're not getting home. We talk about Fletcher Cox and the season he's having. The only guy that's really doing much is Javon Hargrave and Josh Sweat occasionally when he's not jumping off sides, which we've seen a few times this year where he's jumping off sides before, you know, 10 seconds before the ball snapped. So maybe they bring a little bit more pressure. It was good to see Rodney McLeod back last week. I know he had two big penalties that kind of hurt the Eagles.
Dude, listen.
He's better than Marcus Epps and Kayvon Wallace. It was good to see him back last week.
Yeah, but he's not, you know.
No, but it's still good to see. Like,
yeah, but you get my point. Like, he's...
I know.
He's Dunsky. I mean, let's be real here for a second.
But he's far better.
Well, that just tells you the lack of personnel they got back there.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because remember, they tried forcing Jalen Mills back there last year. It was a mess. And I'll be honest, I thought more of Anthony Harris coming in here. I hope he doesn't just stink. You know, he was good with Minnesota. He comes here. He's been an absolute mess. I don't know if that's a scheme thing. I know Tyreek Hill is a freak and is one of the fastest men alive, but that one play where he gets down to the 1 yard line. Remember he reached with his hand instead of the ball at the pylon?
Yep.
Anthony Harris took one of the worst angles I've seen try to tackle him. And then he just tried to just reach his hands out just to grab his jersey. Fortunately, Darius Slay was able to get to him. So I hope he doesn't just stink. I hope it maybe just be a scheme thing or something with Anthony Harris right now. But he's been a major disappointment.
Yeah.
Your linebackers are still an issue.
Yeah, your back seven's a major issue.
Yeah, like I figured Alex Singleton.
We talk a lot about the line and, you know, not generating enough pressure and Fletch. And really, when you look at it, Hargrave's the one who is really making that line go and Sweat. But, dude, that back seven is not good.
Yeah, and, you know, you're not getting anything out of Ryan Kerrigan, who now has reached over 100 snaps without a tackle, which is still in the lead for the NFL, in case you're wondering.
Yeah,
107 snaps, I believe it is, dude, he's played this year. Zero tackles.
He doesn't have a stat.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. It's not a stat. You can't even get half a sack.
Oh.
That's like, you know, can I get a half a sandwich? You can't even get a half a sack, dude.
I haven't heard his name mentioned on a broadcast.
No. And what does it tell you? You look at Washington. Washington's defense has not been like what I expected it to be. And he couldn't even make that defense.
Yeah, no. No, he's a mess, dude. He's just collecting a paycheck right now.
This Barnett, though, I can't take him anymore.
I would cut him today if I could, if salary caps weren't issues. And, oh, by the way, who else would
play? Because here's again, he's another one. He never developed an inside move.
Oh, he's one move.
It's amazing.
It's all about the ankles. I remember that was the big
bend,
thing.
The bend. My cousin says it to me all the time. He's got great bends. He's got great bends. Just to break balls.
That's all we heard.
Well, he did have a great bend at Tennessee.
He broke Reggie White's sack record and comes here and does nothing.
No. And he's so one-dimensional.
Yeah, the one dimension is personal fouls.
Yeah. I mean, to have more personal fouls than sacks.
That's ridiculous, dude. That was a first-round pick. Yeah. And I agree with it. It's not like I
didn't like it. But listen,
I thought it was a safe pick.
But I can't speak because my guy's probably in jail now.
Oh, yeah.
I like that beast from Bama.
Yeah,
I also like Dalvin Cook.
The old RF.
I thought I could get it. Both of those guys. Because I was a big Dalvin Cook fan that year. Let's go to Rick. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Ricky.
What's up? So we have Matt Rhule, the real deal. We have Urban Meyer, the Fregosi, right? And then, go ahead. Bye-bye, Urban. See you later, but listen, Andrew, Anthony, I have to tell you both guys. Anthony, I've been listening to you for a long, long time, and I got to tell you, this is my favorite show you've ever had. I'm sorry. I mean, I'll say this. The Meat Locker, I missed the Meat Locker. What a great show that was.
Yeah, that was fun. No, but I agree. Listen, in some way, we have a good time, so thank you.
You and Andrew are great together, man. I love you guys.
Thank you, brother.
My Eagles brother's here. Tell me why I'm wrong here, because I need to know. I really do.
Sure.
With these coaches, I agree with you, Anthony, 100%. We got to give Nick the learning curve, and I think he's doing a good job. I think he's going to be a real good coach eventually. Let's talk about this defensive coordinator. Now, I'm your Joe Schmo average guy. Played football, coached the whole night, right?
Yeah.
Just like anybody else. Always, always, always was told to me and believed that the worst thing you can be as a coach at any level, probably any sport, is predictable. This guy is the most predictable coach in the league. Am I wrong?
Well, yeah, going into it. See, here's the only thing. I mean, you're right. Like, going into Sunday, I don't know if you heard Friday. Like, I saw, here's the game plan, right? This ain't what he's going to do. And it's like you got to play. You can't blitz Mahomes, right? And you got to force Andy to run it with Edwards-Helaire because otherwise you just got no prayer. And it still didn't even work. So, I hear you. I just wonder, is it more personnel? I don't know.
Yeah. My issue is more like this. I heard nothing but good things about this guy coming in. You know, he's up-and-coming coach. He's an innovator. Right. I haven't seen any innovation whatsoever.
No.
I haven't had any deception. I haven't seen, if you don't want to blitz, that's fine. But can't we line up eight guys on line of scrimmage and drop them back? Can't we disguise things?
Yeah.
I mean, his...
No, it's a great point.
I mean, when you have average guys, and then you're predictable, you got no chance. You really got no chance.
Yeah, you're right.
The Cowboys game should have been 28-0 in the first quarter, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's just... So, yeah, that's the guy I'm worried about. But, I'm willing to give him time, so we'll see. I think Jalen, his upside to me is like Prescott, because they're very similar in a lot of ways, But his downside...
Dak's bigger. I think he's got a better arm, and he's bigger.
So do I, and I'm hoping maybe. But, the downside with him, I mean, he could be, Colin Kaepernick, So...
Colin had a big arm. No, I think he's, he could be like Teddy.
Like disappointment.
Like Bridgewater. I don't think he's, I don't think he can disappoint you, right? Because, think about it, right? Like, he wasn't a top three pick, right? And you go, oh, my God, drooling over him. He just may be like a 1A starter. I mean, he could be a mid-tier starter. It helps you win. Great call, Ricky. Thank you, buddy. He could be that. He could be a legit starter, or he could be that, fringe starter who you love as a backup, who maybe you could do something like a Bridgewater, that kind of guy. Because I'm like, again, it all depends on what you project out of him. Let's go to deep in these streets. The one, the only. You ready? Black Gritty. BG!
Cuz, the Phillies should have called me up, bro, because I be batting 1,000 on these calls, bro. You know what I mean? I be doing nothing but hitting dingers. I'm saying, if the Phillies had me, we might be in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? they need a dinger out here. You know what I mean? I got them for you, cuz. How you doing?
You know what we should do? The Flyers, they should have Gritty's cousin, you, Black Gritty, at the game.
I'm going to the game. I got my package going this year. Me and the kid going to be up there.
Dude, I love it.
Yeah, so I love it. I'm going to try and get my orange beard up there and see if I can catch it.
You would be awesome with the orange beard.
See if I can catch it. First of all, just for the record of life, give me a little bit of a leash here. I used to call and talk about Brett Clown and Punk Simmons, and you and I used to battle about it because you were a positive Philadelphia guy. You are generally a positive Philadelphia guy. You're a rational Philadelphia guy. And we used to get into battles about it because that's what sports is. You know what I'm saying? And in those two cases, I happen to be right, and you're doing me a copa because you're a grown man. Say, hey, you know what? You had that one. You saw it. I didn't see it. That's what sports is. We're supposed to argue and push each other a little bit. That's what makes it fun because we care. We're not some regular city that don't care. We care. So we got passion, and you got passion, and the young Thundercat, don't be rational, because when you're rational, you're a hater, young Thundercat. You got to focus. you can't have reasoning with your season. You know what I'm saying? Because they come after you, Thundercat. You got to learn this. But as far as the Eagles are concerned, I just want to know, can we stop talking about this dog mentality? Because I need him to get Cesar Milan in here to train the guys to sit and stay. You keep telling me about this dog mentality.
Caesar!
How do we focus on the penalties, bro? When you bring your dog over the house, can he not bite and eat up my furniture? Can we have your dog act like they got some stability in their life, you know what I'm saying? Like, just clean up the penalties as a young rookie coach. That's the first thing you should be doing on offense. Because you know what? As much as people want to complain about Jalen, we had touchdowns called back on us. Yeah, he missed some throws. Hey, Tom Brady didn't score a touchdown against a rookie quarterback who threw 2 touchdowns, okay? But we need to clean up these penalties. And the defense, guys, ain't no scheme. This dude, I don't like to be out on people early, but there's no scheme, there's no movement, there's no change. It is basic high school football lineup. You know exactly where I'm at, and any kind of good quarterback is going to pick us apart. You say you're going to stop the pass. You gave up 200 yards to one dude in passing and 200 yards rushing. What was the scheme? What was the plan?
Wow. But here's the thing, though. In all fairness, they're trying to keep everything in front of you, right? And now it'll be different. I'm curious how they're going to play Carolina. I think what's going to happen is, especially after Nick was upset at how bad it was against Kansas City, and it was Mahomes. I mean,
I fully understand that too. I'm just saying.
You know, but I think it'll be different. And I think it's going to be interesting because I think what they're going to try to do now is I think they're going to try to get more pressure, right? Like, so I think they're going to try to pressure Sam Darnold and kind of take away Hubbard, who I like, by the way, from a kid from Oklahoma State. He's taking it over for McCaffrey. So I think they're going to try to be more aggressive and try to force some turnovers. So then it's going to put the game in Darnold's hands and try to go and try to beat. They'd have to try to beat him down the field because I think they'll go more man.
So three things. I love you and young Thundercat so much in my heart. Secondly, he better do something different. I'm going to be burning this thing down next week when I call. And the last thing, hey, young Thundercat, go ahead and play that 2 times one time. It's so good.
Do it, baby. I love it, BG. It's our friend Black Gritty.
It's the one good thing that Voracek brought the Flyers, man.
Yeah.
And Lee.
Yo, we're going to the game a week from Friday.
Can't wait. I can't wait, man. It's going to be great to be back in there.
The opener against the Knox.
Yeah, you and I were talking this morning. We wish the schedule was a little flipped. Because on Monday,
the Kraken.
They host the Kraken. And I would love to see the Kraken.
Dude, the Kraken. That's actually a great name, too.
A great name. The jerseys are awesome.
You know?
They could lose every game this year, and I wouldn't care. The Kraken.
Yeah, you're going to get a Kraken jersey.
Probably not, but I thought about it.
You said this morning.
No, I said that would be a good jersey to get.
You're gonna go cracking.
I would go no name on the back though.
That's a great jersey to crack.
It's an awesome jersey.
It's a great name. Actually, they nailed it.
But I'd feel gross wearing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would.
I mean, we care. It's like, you know, it's more of a novelty item.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
You're not rocking like, you know.
Go crack and go.
Right. It's more of a novelty thing. Go crack and go. What's the Sixers opener? You got the schedule?
I think it's the 22nd because I think they're 1 week after the Flyers start.
So Friday the 15th, Flyers Knucks. And I need
Sorry,
Sixers.
October 20th. 8 o'clock tip in New Orleans.
Really? The 20? That's early, dude. They really went back to the early part of the schedule.
Yeah, they did. And oh, by the way, oh, never mind. I was going to mention something. The 22nd, they do have a game. It's their second game. That's their home opener against the Brooklyn Nets. I was about to say, I thought it was in Brooklyn. Kyrie.
Wait a second, dude. The home opener is against Brooklyn?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was about to play No Sleep, but I replaced it with this.
It's just not enough.
I'll pull it back up eventually.
You gotta let me some battery.
But Kyrie not practicing today with the Nets because he can't.
Right.
So that's going to be a fascinating situation to see.
He's a nut. Knowing him, he could retire.
Because that's 41 games he's guaranteed to miss.
My head's exploding right now. We got Flyers the 15th, Sixers the 20th.
Yeah. And sandwich in between that, the Sixers play Thursday that week. Or Eagles, sorry. So the Eagles, it's Thursday night football.
Against Brady.
The next day, Flyers opener.
Dude, I love October. This is just sportsgasmic. What am I going to do? I don't even know how much time.
I got
practice today, right? Ant's got practice today. Mossimo's got practice today. I was at Ant's practice last night.
Okay.
All right.
You have two practices today?
Yeah.
So you're going to be streaming Yanks Red Sox, I'd imagine.
Yeah, because I'm going to take Mossy to baseball in the city. Then we got tomorrow's Anthony practice, Anthony game Thursday. Dude, Saturday.
Good luck, dude.
Doubleheader Moss. Sunday, Moss again, and 2 o'clock.
And oh, by the way, you work at 6 a.m. on Saturdays.
But wait, Ant's got a game Sunday, football game Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah, like, dude, you know, listen, I want to go to Carolina. Like, I'm still thinking there's a part of me that just may drive down Saturday.
Wait, since when is...
When
is Little League football on Sunday?
It's usually never, but we're playing in Salem, which is a hike.
Yeah.
How far? I didn't know where it was. I go, Salem, where's that, Massachusetts? I didn't even know that was a town.
Nah, it's probably 30 minutes south of you. That's where I had to do my driver's test.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was one of the locations.
Salem? Like Salem? Where the witches are? I had no idea. What do you mean we had a game there? Sunday.
Yeah, why Sunday?
And then Mossy's the tournament Sunday. So I don't know what time that is. But it's like, yo, dude, I honestly was thinking Mossy's second game is like 2:50 on Saturday. I'm thinking, you know, it's 5:30. Your game's over. I drop him off and I just drive down.
Well, that's a 6-hour drive. You're down there by 11? About 6 hours, right?
Couldn't knock on
Matt. Hey, Matt, you busy?
I couldn't knock on his door. Dude, can I sleep on a couch?
You got nothing going on.
I
want to
watch the game.
I'm not going to bother you.
I mean, you know.
I know what you do. Your cardboard cutout is still
Panthers
in Chuck's office. You just put that at the sideline.
I mean, I want to be there, man. I can, you know, like I can actually, one, I can flex a little bit. Damn. October's going to be amazing. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We got actually four open lines. First time all day, actually, you can get through easy. Right here, Cuz Radio with the Chunas. 97, Father Fanatic.
This is Andrew Salchunas, and oh, by the way, Ant, we also have playoff baseball that starts today. Wild card game this October. Make every moment more with FanDuel Sportsbook and Partnership with Valley Forge. All customers get a $10 same game parlay bet bonus. You just place a $20 same game parlay bet on either wild card game and get a $10 bonus, win or lose. So build your same game parlay any way you like it. Total home runs. You got two teams that have some boppers. You know, you got Devers for Boston. You, of course, have everybody in New York. They can all hit home runs. Total strikeouts. You got Garrett Cole on the mound against Nathan Eovaldi. Honestly, I saw some numbers just now on the TV. Garrett Cole's ERA in Fenway this year is near 7. I think he steps up. I think he's a monster today, which is why I'm riding with New York. So there's your parlay. You want to go with the home run for somebody on New York. You want to go with Cole's strikeouts. And you want to go New York money line. Offers like this are just one of the reasons why I love betting on FanDuel, the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to register, fast payouts, and easy to place your bet fast during a game. New to FanDuel Sportsbook? Sign up today with promo code FANATIC to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code FANATIC. Must be 21 plus and present in PA. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus, $10 plus 400 final price or longer required. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, a lot of people going down to Carolina for the game. Hearing on the gram, a lot of people going down. That'd be fun. It's a fun trip.
Yeah, it's a good choice. This time of year, that weather's probably gorgeous.
Yeah, it's the best. It's the best time of year. Even here, like over the weekend, you know, I have to say the smell I like. I hate grass smell.
I know you.
Like, you like it?
I love it. That's a top smell of mine.
Yeah, it's a whole, I don't like the smell of grass. I don't like it a little bit. However, I do like the burning leaves.
Okay.
What do you mean, okay? You don't like the burning leaves?
You just burn leaves?
Dude, I don't know. You're from Mulga Hill. You walk outside at night, Saturday night, all I smelled was that burning leaf smell.
Are you sure it wasn't just bonfires?
Dude, I don't know what it is.
Most bonfires are like, you know, wood, a few twigs.
But what is a bonfire? Unless you're at Penn State before the game, but I don't know. What are you talking about?
I went to bonfires all the time.
What? That's a thing?
With people who had land, yeah.
What do you mean you went to bonfires?
I went to bonfires all the
time. I've never been to a bonfire in my life.
Well, yeah. I mean, you and I had different areas growing up. Yeah, dude, I went to bonfires all the time.
Is a bonfire a thing?
Yeah.
Like, I always hear it once in a while, you know, charity or whatever.
No, it's just we hung out. Bonfires.
And
not fire pit, like bonfires. Like legit.
Well, what am I smelling? Fire pit? What am I smelling?
Probably fire pit, chimeneas, all that kind of stuff.
Saturday night, it was a little chill. It was like a little chill Saturday night.
Was it
Saturday night or Friday night? One of the night. Maybe it was Friday night. Because Friday night actually was it dipped into the 50s.
Yeah.
And I smelled that smell, that burning. Oh, I thought it was burning leaves.
There may have been some leaves in the fire pit. But you probably mainly got the smoke smell. It is a great smell, though. I love the fire pit smell.
I know there's the bonfire is a big thing.
I mean, I went to a few, yeah. Like a few different places with bonfires, and it was not charity.
Like just a hangout time?
Yeah. My dad had a fire pit. He lit that thing up every night. It was a great smell. I left my windows open so that I could come into the room a little bit.
So let me ask you a question. Do I need to get a fire pit?
You might have fun with it, actually. Do you like it? Do you mess with fire?
I mean, listen, I like fire. Who don't like fire?
That's what I'm saying.
So I mean, you know.
You might actually like it. It is very relaxing.
No, I could see myself, like, I could see a fire. Fire pit.
Yeah, dude, I love
like, mine. Did your father make one?
No, he bought one. You can get one at, like, Target for probably, like, $100.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess I got to do that, huh?
Yeah, really, the only thing they have to do is cover it so that it doesn't get rusted through like mine is at this point, because I've had mine for a while.
So you do your fire pit every night?
I don't do it every night, but I try to do it on the weekends when it's cooled off, yeah, if I'm around. Dude, I love having a beer next to the fire. Oh, my God, it's amazing.
I like a fire.
Yeah.
It's a shame. I have a gas fire. I don't have a real fireplace.
Yeah, my parents have the real one down the shore. They love it. It's great smelling that in the house. But, yeah, I mean, you got some nice space. I saw your spot when we went down to the charity event. So you got a nice spot to put a little fire pit somewhere.
All right.
I love the fire pit. Hang out, listen to some music.
I could see that. Like, yeah, I could definitely see.
I've fallen asleep next to mine countless times.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Listen to the crackling of the wood.
All right.
Or the leaves in your case.
The booming. My buddy Boo, he's a big fire pit. He's in Delco. He's in whatever, media. He loves his fire pit.
Yeah, I sometimes get scared when I do mine. Not that I'm going to burn down Manioc, but I feel bad for my neighbors because they probably think that someone's house is on fire. I always kind of feel bad about that, but, you know.
So you have enough space in your backyard, though, that you have a fire pit action?
Yes. It's not at the pit itself. It's one of those that, like, stand up on the four legs.
All right.
I can't really dig into the brick in my backyard.
Okay. I mean, I'm interested in it. But the fire pit was a decent activity.
Yeah, it's a great time.
But your missus is probably a fire pit guy.
Yeah, he has one in his backyard.
Does he?
Yeah.
Let's go to, where are we at? Javon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Javon. Hello, Javon. Javon's not there. All right, how about Billy in West Philly? Billy, hello.
Yo, what's happening, cuz? How are you?
What's going on, Billy?
Hey, all good things, man. I want to give you a little leadership thoughts and my quarter poll thoughts with this Eagle season. But first, I want to give a shout out to two really important leaders in this town. And one of them is your man, the Tunis, whose work on the Phil's train I really appreciated this season, man. So thanks a lot.
Did a great job on the Tunis train.
Dude, it was absolutely fantastic because I was low. I think I told you this earlier, like early in April, you know, I came into that season thinking, oh, we might actually go somewhere.
Yeah.
That day they blew three saves in one game. They took something from me and a little bit of humor and sense of adventure really helped, really helped things along. So thanks to you, Tunis.
Oh, thanks, Bill. Yeah.
Oh, man, seriously. The other guy I wanted to shout out to is that man, Jeff Stoutland. When we talk about leaders in this town, I mean, he's one of those dudes who obviously you can tell he's a leader because the stuff always works. You don't ever see him or hear from him. But talk about a steady Eddie, cuz where would this coach and this young quarterback be if they didn't have that foundation on which to do their own work?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I want to shit. Here's where we are with this leadership stuff. I really liked what I saw in this last game because I told you what I needed to see after Dallas. I needed to see the coach and the quarterback show me that they could help each other. And for any group of leaders to show that you can come back from failure is a really important thing. And so getting beat up like that, like they were in Dallas, and then coming back and giving us a respectable performance really showed me something on the offensive side. And the other thing, obviously, we learned is that defense is garbage. And so my take on this whole sort of after this first quarter is, you know, what I'm watching this season is whether this offense and this coach and this quarterback can prove to Howie that he should focus on defense in this draft coming up this season. That's what's at stake here. I agree with you.
It is at stake. Where is it trending?
I think it's trending good in terms of, I think what Jalen and Sirianni have showed us is that they can come up with a plan and execute it, move the ball up and down the field and score. I think if Howie sees that, he doesn't need to see Aaron Rodgers out there, but he needs to see a quarterback that can move the ball, protect the ball, and score and follow a plan. And if Jalen can do that, he can win Howie's heart enough to at least support him through the season.
Man, I hope it works out that way. My only fear is this, and just keeping it real. You watch Herbert, right? I'm just watching last night, right? Like, just watch Herbert. You watch, Murray against the Rams. Yep. I mean, that's a great defense. I mean, not a great defense, the Rams, but you got Jalen Ramsey, you got Donald. I mean, they're a little banged up in the middle, but my God, I mean, he darts the ball. Yep. I mean, Herbert darts the ball. Russ is accomplished. Mahomes accomplished. Yep. That's the only thing that scares me.
I'm with you because it's hard to win Howie's heart when you don't have the arm. And that's what Jalen's got to do. You know, he's got to prove that he can. I guess that's my question for Howie, basically, whether he's going to be satisfied with an offense that's good enough to move and protect the ball so that he can fix this awful defense, or is he going to see something that's basically a B, maybe a B-minus offense and say, okay, I got to shoot for A+. I'm going to blow it all on another quarterback, and we're going to wait another year.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you. That's a great point. I mean, as always, Billy, good stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. So my man, Paul was talking about Ian Begley's report about the Sixers and the Pacers. So the Pacers have made overtures for Simmons. So it looks like Caris LeVert, I gotta believe. Now Paul said Sabonis was there, but that doesn't make any sense. Sabonis and
unless you're moving Tobias back to the three, and now Sabonis is your
Let me tell you something. If I can get Caris LeVert, Sabonis, here's what he said. He said it's Caris LeVert. Now I didn't see it. Caris LeVert
here. I have
Sabonis two ones for Simmons and Milton.
See, I don't know where he saw that. This is Ian Begley. Right, this is Ian Begley's story.
All right.
A few notes on the Ben Simmons situation and its relevancy to the Knicks and the Nets. League sources confirmed that the Pacers are among the teams who have talked to the Philadelphia 76ers about a potential Simmons trade. Caris LeVert was among the players brought up in those communications. And that's the only player mentioned in the entire story. And then your boy the Windy last week said the Pacers were a sleeper team. So Simmons and Wentz can hang out together.
Oh, that would be hysterical. Oh, it would be the greatest. Send them all. Send them both to Indy. Oh, it'd be great. I want to see Ben.
Oh, he'd be miserable.
Oh, even Cornfields. Oh, it'd be great. Talk about priceless. You know what? Not only are we going to ship you away from a cosmopolitan, nothing against Indianapolis, but come on. We would call it Indian no place. I mean, go ahead, Ben. Go hang in with the Pacers.
You think
Hey, Ben.
You want to go hunting?
Pacers, Ben. And Wentz will be calling him up to him. Hey, Ben.
You want to go hunting?
Caris LeVert, Sabonis. I mean, I'm interested.
Oh, yeah, me too. Listen, man. I got to get a fellow litho here.
Now, the only problem is Tobias is better at the four.
Yeah, and he had his best season as the four twice now under Doc Rivers. L.A. and then last year with the Sixers.
But Sabonis is a good ball player.
Now, let's just say for the hell of it, that's what you get. You go Maxi LeVert, or is LeVert coming off the bench as your scorer, or is Curry in the lineup?
Well, you need a point guard.
Well, Maxi, or is Maxi in the deal?
No. Maxie's not in the deal. In the deal that he said, it was Ben and Milton.
Right, so what I'm saying is
Maxie starts. You have to have him start.
Yeah, so who's the two? Is it LeVert or Curry?
I give Curry the nod.
All right, so LeVert's your scoring threat off the bench.
It's not bad. What about, let me ask you a question. Brogdon.
You'd have to give up more. I mean, listen, I love Tyrese, but Brogdon's... I don't know what the hell happened in Indiana last year.
See, I like that. Is there any way to make a monster deal with Indiana?
So, Ben, I'm wondering, would you have to move on from like a Danny Green to make money work? And then
whatever.
And then one of the young
I'm just trying to think. LeVert's got injury issues, but I don't know. I mean, again,
I got hurt again recently.
I know. But if you had Sabonis, if you had Brogdon, what about Brogdon Sabonis?
Wow.
Is there any way you can get that?
I'm sure you could try to make something work. I mean, that team last year, I don't know. I still don't know why they fired Nate McMillan. I thought that was so dumb, and then look what happened in Atlanta when he takes over. I would take those two for sure. I mean, now all of a sudden, I mean, Brogdon's a hell of a player. He's had a tough year.
I mean, Brogdon. First of all, Brogdon and Ben don't fit together.
No.
So Brogdon and, I mean,
Ben and Sabonis works.
Yeah, Sabonis and Embiid works.
Yeah, there's your stretch four.
I mean, literally, there's spacing there because he can hit a three. He's a great rebounder. He works with Tobias. I mean, could you do Brogdon and Sabonis? Could you get that?
I just want to make it happen so I can have a Sabonis jersey.
But I know you would love it. But let me ask, seriously, is Brogdon, just say Brogdon Green.
That's right. I didn't even have three in the starting five.
All right. Well,
he'd come off the bench because if Tobias at the three.
All right. So Brogdon, Curry, Tobias, Sabonis, and Embiid is a five. I mean, that's a good five, no?
I think that works. Here, you know what I'm going to do? Because I know people love doing this. Let's go with the old ESPN
trade
machine. Because we got to see how money works.
That's interesting. All right, you do that. I'm going to go to Bryant.
All right.
My man Brian in Woodbury. Brian, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, cuz? How you doing, man?
How you feeling, brother?
I'm okay. So I wanted to make one point about the Eagles' offense and one point about the defense. I was listening to Sirianni's press conference yesterday, and he talks about how his two big things are turnovers and big plays. And I was thinking to myself, like, I don't feel like they give Miles Sanders the ball enough, especially in open spaces. Like, I think if they would give him the ball in open spaces, he's shown the ability to take the ball to the house. I mean, but they're not really giving him opportunities to do that. I think it would open up the offense huge. I mean, they're doing a great job already, I think. I mean, the offense is doing better than I expected. But I think going forward, I think they should really try and feed Miles Sanders the ball more.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he missed the opportunity against the Cowboys, which we talked about, especially the second half. Again, I would have gave him a chance to taste the end zone to make him feel good, right?
Yeah.
Like, I would have done that against Kansas City, especially when they had first and goal at the three. I like Gainwell.
I mean, I like Gainwell a lot, but I think we could use both of them. I think it doesn't have to be like to Miles Sanders' detriment that we use Gainwell. I think we can use both.
You know what's interesting about them? I wonder, you know, is like, I'm with you. You got RPOs, which are going to be run pass, right? So
right.
You got three really good receivers, and you got two tight ends. So you can go 11 or you can go 12. You got a lot of mouths to feed.
Yeah, so maybe it's the problem is that there's just one ball, maybe, I guess.
You know, I mean, because when you think about it, like, here's my priority. Devontae Smith, I got to get him the ball.
Oh, right? Absolutely. I think he's number one, yeah.
Right, so I agree. So he's number one. Your tight ends are going to be, I mean, Goddard's a hell of a player, and he's usually a mismatch.
Yeah.
And then you got Quez and Jalen both. I mean, you know, the end around works with Rager. So, and then you got your backs. So
I also feel like when they play Ertz, I feel like it hurts Watkins, because when Ertz is on the field, Watkins usually, they take Watkins off the field.
Uh-huh.
So... And I just want to make
And I agree with you. I like 11 personnel with this team way better. I just think, you know, I think I like their three receivers. I like Rager in the slot.
Yeah, well, I think, and Watkins is such a burner. Like, he catches the ball.
I agree with you. I love him, yep.
And one more thing I wanted to, like, Fletcher Cox, he's been no man's land. I mean, everybody's been talking about it. Do you think they should look at some point of maybe trying to trade him and get something for him? I mean, I know
the problem is the money.
Yeah, I know he's got a huge cap hit.
Yeah,
but, I mean, if he's doing nothing, and you know, Kerrigan's a waste. The whole D line is just. Since Brandon Graham has been.
Yeah, if it wasn't a cap world, yeah, like I would I trade him at the deadline? Yeah, I would. But problem is, you can't fit a big number like that.
Between him and Barnett, I want Barnett going too, but he's another cap. He's another guy that.
Well, he's done after this year because you didn't sign him to the extension.
Long term, yeah. Oh, thanks, Cousin.
All right, good stuff, Brian. Thanks, buddy. What do you think? Junis, did you find it? You did the trade machine?
Yeah, so the money would not work in terms of Ben for LeVert, Brogdon, and Sabonis, and then adding. So for some reason, Danny Green can't be moved on the trade machine. I don't know why. Maybe he has some sort of clause in his contract that I'm not 100% up to date on. But Ben for LeVert and Sabonis does work money-wise.
Problem with LeVert is it's just. I mean, I would have interest in him.
The dude is a hell of a talent and has had some awful luck. Remember, yeah. Well, good luck because he got traded and they found out the. Remember he had to get surgery. It was almost like the Dorenbos situation where if the trade didn't happen, who knows what could have happened, right? So they make the trade. He finds out he has some health issues. And then he gets hurt again this offseason. I mean, the guy has had some crappy luck, but he's talented.
Yeah.
Remember, for a while, I thought that Nets team, before they did what they did with Harden and Irving and Durant, I thought that was still going to be a nice little team with LeVert and Dinwiddie and company.
And Dinwiddie got hurt.
Yeah.
And it was the 4-5?
Allen. Yeah. Jared Allen.
Yeah.
He just grabs like 20 rebounds a game.
Yeah. I mean, LeVert's interesting to me.
He is.
I mean.
Remember the initial report, one of the reports that we heard
way
back.
I thought there was a Brogdon in there.
It was Brogdon, LeVert, and a first round pick.
Yeah.
For Ben Simmons. That was the initial report that we heard. I believe it was 3 months ago.
Not for nothing, but Malcolm Brogdon.
He's a hell of a player.
You know.
That's why when you said Sabonis, I was like, who made that up? Because I don't see that happening. Because Ben and Sabonis actually work.
Dude, I can't imagine.
Indiana.
Yeah, but I can't imagine Indiana trading Sabonis. So.
No, exactly. So the LeVert, Brogdon, and the pick made sense. You know, we just kind of sort of looked at it side-eyed because we wanted a Beal or Lillard. But that is still a nice little haul.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you get me. If you can get me. Brogdon, because then say it's LeVert. Okay, it's not Sabonis, because that's too much.
Yeah.
So it's Brogdon, so your starting five would be Brogdon, Curry, LeVert, Tobias, Joel. That's not bad.
Unless you had LeVert coming off and Danny Green's in the five.
I don't want Danny Green's. I don't want him. I want LeVert. If you had Brogdon, Curry, LeVert, Tobias, Joel, that's a strong five.
That's pretty good.
There's a general. General T.Y., what do you think of that?
He's not doing that trade.
Why? Who doesn't he like? LeVert? Don't trust LeVert's injury?
It's not good enough. It's Dame or bust.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Dame man. You know that. I'm a Dame dollar. It's not bad, though. Listen, General, you got to admit, that's not a bad trade.
Can't win the East, he says.
Can you? I don't know about that. Like, Kyrie's a kook. Knows about him. I don't think it's a lock they can't win with that team. LeVert's talented. And Brogdon's legit point guard. I don't know, dude. I think you're underselling it. Starting to talk myself into it a little bit. 610-632-0975. Dude, we got an embarrassment of conversation. Because you're going to have Flyers, Sixers in a week. And baseball playoffs. It's pretty awesome. All right. Let's talk DraftKings, shall we? DraftKings is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. and they got a week five offer for every football fan that you got to jump on. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game. You win $100,000 free bets. If either team scores a point, that's right, the last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943, all right? So you got a no-brainer deal here. DraftKings customers can also get some skin in the game with the new SGPs, the same game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. Best of all, you can deposit, withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use that code FANATIC. Bet just a buck on any NFL game. Win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's code FANATIC this week at DraftKings.com. Got to be 21 or older. Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 1 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. Wow, this is interesting. I'm all over the place. Like, my mind is just going all over. Because I saw a story on ESPN.com, right, ready? NBA GMs, everybody picked a winner. So, in their annual survey of 30 GMs on NBA.com, the Nets received 72% of the votes to win the title. The Lakers got 17%, and the Bucks got 10%.
I shouldn't do this? Like, I feel like I'm dumb to say it, but like, I feel like the Lakers are going to be a lot of hype. Like, it's just all old players.
No, we'll see, man. You know?
Like, LeBron and Anthony Davis are still freaks, don't get me wrong. But it's just like a lot of... They brought in everybody. It's old.
I don't know, dude. Like, you know, NBA is a man's league, though.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's why I said it's probably dumb of me to think this. But I don't know, like, the more...
The problem
more...
I see on that team is, can somebody shoot the three?
That's a good point.
The Nets and Bucks dominated the voting in the Eastern Conference, followed by the Heat.
Oh, God, I hate that.
Then the Sixers.
They're in love with Miami.
I know they are.
They want Jimmy Butler to be like this evil villain so bad.
I know, so bad. So it's the Heat, then the Sixers, then the Hawks and Celtics. In the West, Lakers run away, followed by the Jazz, Suns, Nuggets, and then Warriors. Durant got 37% of the MVP votes of the GMs.
I can see that happening.
Luka got 33. Greek Freak, 13%. Harden, 7%. And Beast, 7%. Curry got 3, LeBron got none. Any thoughts?
No, I can see. I honestly, dude, I do think that the Nets are. Well, actually, I can't even say that because of the Kyrie situation. I mean, right now, he's going to miss 41 games.
Yeah.
Until either he gets vaccinated, which I don't think he will, or the rules change in New York. Which who knows how long that's going to be. So as of right now...
But like right here, right? He can't play here, can he?
No, he can't. It's only New York, and California.
Oh, so you have to be vaccinated in those two states.
Yeah, so...
to play. So here he can actually play here?
He could actually play here. So he would be available for the second game of the season for the Sixers, which is the Sixers' home opener where they play Brooklyn. But right now, he's listed to miss 41 games when it's their home games, but he'll also miss...
Right, that's just, I mean, come on, that's got to get rectified.
But he'll miss the games against the Knicks, which, what, you play two road games, two home games against your conference opponents. That's 43, and then whatever games they have out in California, which is a couple of teams, man.
Well, Sacramento, Lakers,
Clippers,
Warriors. So that's another four. So he's now down to 39.
Yeah.
And they're the only two states? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, there was three, but one just got lifted, I'm pretty sure, a few weeks ago.
Anyway, I don't care about him anyway. He's a wacko.
But then again, they're still pretty good with Harden and Durant, so it's like,
yeah,
how will they fare?
That's got to get rectified at some point. There's no way in the world he's going to sit out half the season. I can't, and at home, there's no way in the world that's going to happen. I do like...
It could, though.
Let me ask you a question on the other side, on the Simmons front. Isn't there some justice about Simmons going to Indianapolis?
Oh, it would bring so much joy to my life. Because it was like... When we first started talking about the packages, right? I was like, well, if I'm not going to get a Dame or I'm not going to get a Beal, send him to Minnesota just so he's miserable. Like, that was Spite Andrew talking. Send him to Minnesota. Give me the slop. Come back.
I mean, Indianapolis isn't exactly...
That, exactly. So, hey. You know,
South Beach.
Right. Go ahead. Send him there.
That's not Rio. That's not Hollywood. Be kind of fun to send him there.
Oh, it'd be
fantastic.
And
the fact that Wentz is there, too.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Oh, God. That's just crazy.
Could you... Well, you know what's bad? I got excited that Milton was in the deal. In that proposed deal.
You're not a big Shake.
I don't like Shake. I'm sorry. Can I be honest with you? Yeah, I can't stand him.
Yeah, you're not a Shake.
I hate the way he plays the game. I hate it. He's a horrible point guard. He just shoots too much. And the worst thing that happened was he got hot in that one game. And then he thought he could do it all the time. Right?
Which is why I did think, though, when they brought in Hill in the trade deadline, I thought him and Shake would actually work coming off the bench because Shake's not a point guard.
No.
Right? He's a two-guard who can score a little bit for you.
Who shoots entirely too much.
Yeah, but I thought George Hill running the offense would make
it work.
He
gets hot once in a while. I mean, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm just not a fan. Plays no defense. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Drew.
What's up, Cousin Chooch? How you doing?
What's going on? What's happening, man?
Yo, Cuz, how about that lineup? Kincaid, Cuz, and Missinelli. Does it get any better?
All right, Cuz. What do you got going on?
Yo, so my point before I get to my Eagles and Phillies, name this coach, Cuz, because you love this. Listen to me. Mikhail Parrish and Bird aren't walking through that door.
Billy C.
No, Patino. When he was up in Boston and they had Antoine.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah. Because the press was hounding him because they lost like seven straight.
Oh, that's a great line. Well, you're a great basketball man, Drew.
Yeah,
give me that.
He got so, you know how Patino gets fired up. His eyes got real big and he looked at the guy. He goes, Mikhail Bird and Parrish aren't walking through that door. Because I know you love basketball stuff. Listen, the Eagles, what can you say? You go week to week. You hope, you know, Hurts gets better. Because you got to give him time. You got to give him a chance. You hope the coach develops into, because I love him. I think he's a great guy, and I think he's got what it takes.
I think he's smart. I do, too. I think he's smart. I think he's going to want, he needs to grow a little bit. But, I mean,
right.
You know, I'm fine with him. I think he actually has good ideas.
Me, too. The maturation process has to come into play with him and Hurts. I mean, yep. It will happen. And then, now, Cuz, you'll appreciate this, because I called you in the summertime a couple times. Girardi didn't kick in with the Chucky Pancamo, you know, things are going to start to change around here attitude. Have a great day,
you
guys.
Too, brothers. You know, come on, man. What do you think about going forward? I want October baseball, dude.
Yeah, I'm begging for it. The only October baseball I got from the Phillies was dropping two of three to the Marlins when they already got eliminated.
At least you won your bet. Thank God.
Dude.
Dude, you sweated that bad boy. Well, you didn't sweat because they won Friday, but.
Well, they needed to win one more game out of six. They went 1-5.
But they almost failed you.
Yeah, I would have been extremely disappointed. More so than I already was.
He, Chunas had, in case you don't know.
81.5.
Chunas had over 81.5.
And they were at 81 heading into the series with the Braves. And they went 1-5.
That's so bad.
Thank you, Ranger Suarez.
Oh, my God.
Go, Ranger Suarez, man. Power Ranger.
You owe some to Power Ranger.
My God.
Right? Let's go to Nate. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Nate?
Yo, how's it going, guys?
What's up, brother?
Nothing much. You know, I'm actually, you know, I'm calling from Cleveland. I grew up in the area, you know, a big Birds fan my whole entire life, all Philly sports, you know, but I've been watching some of these Cleveland games and, you know, I watch some of these games, dude. And I mean, I see a team like Cleveland can win with Baker Mayfield. I don't know if you guys watch. They can beat good teams with Baker Mayfield, you know? And that gives me hope, you know, about
Kevin Stefanski's a good coach.
He's a good coach. And, you know, the guy, you know, the last caller, he was talking, I think Sirianni could be, you know, in that vein, a pretty solid coach too, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of going through.
Yeah.
But I'm watching this and I think the thing, you know, that's holding us back is, you know, our veterans on defense and our inability to get good defensive players, get good young players. You know, Cleveland is good and they can win with Baker Mayfield because they're not getting gashed by every single running back one and two for, you know, six yards a pop. You know, it's impossible to win with this defense is what I'm going to say. And it's impossible for
Jalen. Yeah, well, you're not winning. You knew this year you didn't have the talent to play. The only reason why he played the defense that way the last two games was he just didn't want to get burned down the field. He was trying to force Andy to run Edwards-Helaire, which I agreed with. I mean, not much you could do with the Chiefs' offense. And then Dallas, he did the same thing.
I mean, probably a mistake. But I think, I don't know if this defense, you know, I mean, we could play an injured McCaffrey. We still could get gashed by that guy. I just think, you know, I mean.
You're right. Like, they still have the personnel to play deep and to play Gannon's scheme. I don't think they have the personnel to do it.
And that's what I think it goes back to, like, you know, we got to hit on these three, you know, whatever it is, these draft picks. Like, we need hits on the defense. You know, our best, you know, we won the Super Bowl.
Let me give you a supposed question. Because this is going to make everybody uncomfortable. And listen, the obvious thing is the hope is that Hurts is the quarterback, so you can then use those picks on defense. But say you got one that's real high. Say the Miami pick or your pick is really high. Would you use one? Say you had to use two of the three high picks, right? Let's say Indy is the second rounder. You got to use the Indy pick and either yours or Miami's to take a quarterback. Would you do it?
Would I take the quarterback? I mean, you got to, like, you start off with quarterback, yeah. But, I mean, if you got a guy on the board that's like a defensive stud, like a guy that's, you know, like.
I know. Listen, I hear you. You get a guy that can be an anchor to your defense.
I think we need, like, anchors to our defense. We need guys that can stop the run, get sacks, a safety that can make plays. I mean, we don't have
linebackers. No, I agree with you.
Linebackers look inept, you know. They I don't know. They look like lost.
Hopefully Taylor can play. You're going to get some of him, so.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Well, listen, I agree with you. I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's just I hope it doesn't come down to that, and I have an inkling it might. It might come down to will they take the quarterback or not.
Yeah, and I think you're right, but just I want to, like, I'm imagining a world where we have a defense that can actually play, you know, and I know we're playing tough teams too. I mean, you know, if Jalen Hurts had a defense that could play and we won 10 games, then we'd be also having a different conversation. So, I mean.
Yeah, but they're not going to win 10. They're not ready to win.
They're not going
to.
No, I'm not saying they're not ready, but I'm saying if we had a defense that could, you know, if we had a defense that complemented Hurts, you know, then the whole city would be having a different
conversation. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if that's accurate or not.
You don't think so? Even if we had.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not saying no. I just don't know. I don't know if Jalen's the guy. I mean, I keep asking the same question. I don't know.
Everybody needs
a competent defense, and your point is the Eagles defense is not competent. I agree with you, buddy. I do. But I don't know that automatically you got a defense and all of a sudden, you know, you got an answer and Hurts. I don't know. I really don't. I need more time this year to determine whether or not, and this is what the conundrum is going to be. You're going to have, let's just say you're going to have four high picks. You're going to have your Miami pick, which could be a top five pick. Your pick, which could be a top 10 pick. Then the Colts, which will be a second round pick, right? Or late first, depending on what happens. There's still a part of me that goes, Indy is not that good. And at some point, they're going to bench Wentz so you don't get a first rounder. And then you would have your second rounder, which would be pretty high. Now, you would potentially have two ones, two twos, both high in each respective round. And the question's going to, you're going to be faced with this conundrum. And we just hope that we're going to have the answer that yes, without a shadow of a doubt, Jalen's the guy, or I got to use some draft capital, get a quarterback.
Yeah. And listen, I get what he's saying with the whole comparing him to the Browns. They have a monstrous defense, but I actually kind of like Baker Mayfield. Like, I think he's an all right quarterback. They also have a ridiculous run game.
Yeah.
Which we don't know about Miles Sanders.
Baker's problem is he's short. His arm's not an issue.
Right.
I mean, I don't think he's got Murray arm, but, you know, speaking of like Oklahoma quarterbacks, but his arm's definitely competent. His problem is he's a little undersized.
Yeah, but they also have a ridiculous rushing attack, which the Eagles.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, you got Chubb and Hunt. And
yeah, that's pretty good, where you have Sanders, who they apparently don't trust, and Kenneth Gainwell, who I like. But that's one. You know, they're in a much better position.
And even Gainwell, you like as a guy that does
spurts.
Right, and he does, you know, he gets the ball out of the backfield. He runs good routes that way. You like that.
Right, exactly.
You know, these other teams are built like running teams. The Eagles aren't going to run.
No.
Now, Sunday is going to be interesting because your defense is going to be, you're going to switch it up a little bit. So what do you do, Chunas, defensively? How do you attack Carolina?
Well, I would bring more pressure than you did last
year. And I think that he's going to do that.
Yeah, I feel like
I think he's going to play more man and less zone.
Like, that's the thing. So the zone coverage that we've seen the last couple of weeks, there have been a lot of open receivers. Forget last week with Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes, but the thing that I was really concerned about the most after that 49ers game was there was a lot of open pockets against their zone defense. And we've talked about this for a few weeks now since that game. Jimmy Garoppolo just wasn't accurate that day. And if he was, that 17-11 loss, the Eagles could have scored more than 11 points, right? Because the Jalen Reagor touchdown comes back. You got to score when Quez Watkins gets a 90-yard-plus reception. But they didn't. But San Fran could have easily scored more than 17 points, too, if Jimmy Garoppolo hits those throws. And what did we see against the Cowboys? Dak made the throws, and they put up 40 points against you. So the zone coverage, I don't think it's working for him. You have a playmaker in Darius Slay. At least we think you do, right? You have a playmaker in Darius Slay. Let him play man coverage. I don't know who Steven Nelson is just yet. I mean, we haven't really seen him play man. And then I think you just got to start bringing some extra pressure. I don't know if you start bringing Anthony Harris up in the box or if you rush your linebackers, but, you know, I don't trust the linebackers. That's the biggest problem. I don't trust these linebackers, no matter what your attack is.
Yeah, and you like, other than Slay, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I look at the back seven and I go,
Like, I look at Nelson as, all right, he's a professional second corner as opposed to what you had last year. Remember last year you had the guy that worked at Target.
Yep.
You know, you had all kinds of guys. Avante Maddox was exposed. Yeah. He was not an outside corner.
And I'm not in particularly love with the safeties either.
Right. I think you improved with McLeod being back, but how much did you improve? Kayvon Wallace, he's hurt now, but he wasn't playing well before he got hurt. Marcus Epps wasn't playing well before he got the concussion. So having McLeod back is at least an improvement, but by how much, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you got to bring some more pressure this week.
Yep.
By the way, a couple of things on Twitter. I want to thank Mike, who points out you can't trade Green right away because he just signed a new deal. Can't trade a free agent until December.
No, there's a rule about that, yeah.
Danny LaRosa tweets in, Ben and Shake for Sabonis and Brogdon does work financially on the trade machine. So I appreciate you, Danny, for taking the time.
Really?
Yes, it does.
And there's no way they would do that.
No, no way. And then Eric tweets in a trade. He goes, let's get wild. So the Portland Trailblazers get Tobias Harris and Isaiah Jackson from the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers receive Ben Simmons and Shake Milton. And the Sixers receive not Dame, but McCollum, Brogdon, and Sabonis.
I
love these trades.
Yeah.
Your thoughts.
CJ McCollum, Sabonis, and Malcolm Brogdon?
Yes. So Brogdon, McCollum, your point guard, your shooting guard.
Yeah. You got it. I'm in.
Danny's your three, Sabonis your four. Because Tobias is now gone.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So that might not work.
I gotcha. Interesting. All right, coming up, I'm going to test your October baseball recall.
Oh, jeez, okay.
All right, I got a couple things for you. I'm going to hit you with rapid fire. I know Frankie wants to talk Eagles in Carolina, so we'll obviously a big part of it. I'm also thinking, to me, the biggest test this week is, what's this offense? Can this offense move the ball against that defense? That'll show me something. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. And the fire pit is a must, Tunis?
I'm a big fan of it. Somebody actually sent in a fire pit idea that I can give to you on the other side.
All right. I like it. All right, that's all coming up. Cuz Radio Tunis. Right here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's talk Parks Casino and Sportsbook. The hometown 444 Casino and Sportsbook. Listen. All the games right there at your fingertips. Download it right to your phone. And you can get parlays and props and in-game betting, same-game parlays, all there. That's right. You're going to bet on a home team. You got to bet with Parks. All right. They have odds boosts. They're always fun. And there's, you got to check out the spread toggle, which is a great thing on the app. And that means you can make the line whatever you want. You want to make it, you know, more in favor of your team for to risk a higher juice, or make it lesser, make it harder. This way you get more plus money, and you can build all kinds of things. It's amazing. This Parks Sportsbook app. Check it out. They got everything. It's awesome. Plus, it's hometown. You can trust them. They're right here in our backyard, Bucks County. ParksCasino.com/PA. Use your promo code Fanatic. In fact, you sign up, you don't even have to deposit a quarter. You get a risk-free bet, $50 right there. Just remember, you got to be in PA, you got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike, you missed out with the Squid Games.
I think I'm watching it when I get home today.
Are you?
Yeah, because my wife's working.
Oh, she won't watch it?
I ran Christy it by won't watch her. It? I ran it by her the other day, and she's like, yeah, sure, I'll watch it. And I was like, you know what?
That was a Fugazi watch?
That means I'll watch an episode with her, and then she'll kind of be like, yeah, can we watch something funny now? And then I'll be like, and I'll want to binge it. So I think I'm going to watch it when I get home, a few episodes.
Dude, there's so much going on TV-wise, it's freaking me out. See, it's always like this in October. Like, October, all right, so we got, listen to me, right, because we want to watch Squid Games. October 24th, you understand? curb your enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Season premiere. Larry Day LD. Larry, why are you popping them bubbles? It's the best. I love Kirby. I love Larry David. So that's coming out. Your Ozark's coming out soon.
Yeah. And you're not in the U game, but that's coming out October 15th, the day of the Flyers
game. I actually
game.
Should do that, too, because I saw the first one. It was good.
I like the first season. Show, man.
Then, my show, Gamora.
Oh, yeah.
Is in December. Plus, I like to imbibe in the scary movies in October.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I love the time, man.
I like the scary movies.
Now, I'm kind of tired of it.
I'm trying to scare the kids.
But like, they sucker me in all the time. The Halloween, another Halloween movie coming out.
Right. Next I'm done week. With that whole thing.
I'm not. Do they sucker me back in?
Really?
I saw the last one in theaters. I thought it was done. There's no way he's coming out of that one alive, but he does.
Yeah, how come? Let me ask you a question. How come there hasn't been a great, like, horror television series? Like, there was the one I thought was really good. It was American Horror Story.
Yeah, where they do this, kind of the same cast, but different stories.
Yeah, and it was good. That was a couple good seasons. But how come there's not, like that's a genre where you see this the episodic television just blow up, right? But that's a genre people I haven't seen.
Well, I mean, we've heard of a few. We remember the Midnight Mass. We talked about that one the other day. Haunting on Hill House. I watched like the first two episodes of. And
what's that?
It's just they bought the house on the Haunted Hill, and it's right. And I remember it was weird. I was like,
you gotta come up with another.
Stopped watching it. Kind of freaked me out. As one,
you gotta come up with another premise.
Yeah, like,
the haunted house. How many times are you going to haunt a house?
Well, that's the thing.
There's a ghost. You got to need something else.
What else are you going to do? It's paranormal activity. It's either that or...
Well, you get my point. Like, how many times are you going to haunt a house?
People die. Like, it's always those things. Like, Saw. Would you categorize Saw as a horror movie?
Yeah.
No ghost there. Just some creep.
Well, that's horror. That's horror. Right. That's what it is. Slasher.
But no, exactly. It's all slashers or ghosts. Can't really go any other way.
You can go demons.
What's the difference?
Well, the demon, the devil.
Route. Tons of them. Dude, I'll be honest.
There is a lot of that.
Conjuring. I'm a big Conjuring guy. I love those movies.
Yeah.
Man. Annabelle, the doll, freaks me out, man.
My man JB says Walking Dead. I forgot, of course. That was a big one.
Wait, was that show good?
Yeah, people love. I never saw it, but people loved it.
I just
JB says first six seasons acclaimed. Yeah, I mean it was. It got huge ratings.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. I mean it's wrong of me to just think this, but it's the zombies are coming. Pew pew pew. All right, we killed that batch of zombies. Next episode, the zombies are coming again.
Yeah, but I think it goes beyond that. Okay. So you simplify it. It's not what. Just like
season
that.
Five. Oh no, what's that? Oh, it's probably a zombie.
Okay, but the whole world's infested. It's one of those deals, dude. You know.
Wow, I just watched the 100th hour of zombies.
They need a new monster.
Well, that's why we have the Beast.
It's true. But we need a new monster. Like, you have the same stories. The vampire story. That comes in and out of vogue. Right? You got your Frankenstein. You got your werewolf. Right? We need a new monster.
All right, here we go. The 20 best movie monsters of all time.
You need a new monster.
Aliens, we already have those.
Okay, but that's, you're right, the alien monster. That's, all right.
I don't know what the hell this is. It's like a giant plant that was eating things. The Blob. I like The Blob.
That's a good one.
This is something from Star Wars. Clover from Cloverfield. I never saw that movie.
Mm.
These are just...
No, my point is you need a new character. Like, you got to come up... Somebody should invent a new character.
Predator? I was a Predator, man.
Yeah. No, you got to get it more like a vampire guy.
The creature from the Black Lagoon.
You live next to a lagoon?
No, I don't.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
come that on. Would be creepy though. The lagoon. You see the water start moving at night.
What's the difference? Lagoon's a goon.
They got King Kong on here. I don't. King Kong's not.
I love King Kong. He's my
evil.
Man.
He's not evil. They just went on his island.
Exactly.
Like,
he's
man.
Definitely not evil.
Oh, I'm pro Kong.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Island,
I agree.
Bitch.
And Kong basically kept all those other creatures in that bay.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm down.
Why
are
we? Come on, man.
You look up. Come on. I want to talk to Frankie. Frankie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how are you today?
What's up, Frank?
What's going on? I want to make 3 points in my last point. I want to make you guys are talking about a draft pick. I just want to make a quick point on that. Talking about the game. The Chiefs game, I understand the defense looked horrendous. But what do you expect against Patrick Mahomes? So I would like to see what the defense will do against Sam Darnold. I don't think he's that great. And also with Jalen Hurts, like you were saying earlier on the show, you don't know if he's at the answer just yet, but we'll find. I mean, this defense is pretty solid that they're playing this weekend, so I want to see him.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great point, Frank.
A little better here.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, the draft picks. I know the Miami picks at 5 right now, but I don't think Miami's the top 5 worst team in the league.
I don't know. I mean, they're pretty bad, dude.
They're bad, but I can name 7 teams probably worse than them.
Go ahead.
The Falcons, the Giants, the Lions.
I don't think Texans, the Giants. I'll give you the Texans.
The Jaguars. I mean.
No, I think the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars are better.
And the Jets.
I think I'm telling you. Yeah. We're a little wager. Well, wager. I'll take top 5. I think the Dolphins suck.
Yeah, they're bad. But the Falcons, though.
I agree with that. I think Atlanta stinks, too. But
Jets stink. I mean,
Jets. I don't know about the Jets.
The Jets
I don't know
are
how
the
bad
Texans,
they stink. Texans are horrid.
Yeah, they're a bad team. The Giants, Daniel Jones is their quarterback. He stinks.
Yeah, he does, but they're better than Miami.
And there's who knows what you're going to get. If they bring Andy Dalton back, they stink, too. I mean,
nah, their defense is good.
Their defense. Also, I think what you trade for Deshaun Watson with your 3 first-round picks.
I mean, that's always going to be out there. That's going to be out there until there's some resolution. There's got to be resolution, Frank.
Because if the Miami and Eagles are 2 top 10 picks, I mean, I guess the Texans thinking a little bit there for in that Deshaun Watson.
It's got to go back to resolution. That situation needs to be resolved.
Yeah. All right, man. Nice talking to you.
You too, Frank. Take it easy, buddy.
The YouTube chat buzzing in on the horror stuff. A lot of Conjuring fans out there.
Is that the one with Vera Farmiga, whatever her name is?
I can let you know right now. I don't know any of these people's names. I just like the movies. Conjuring 3. Let's see the cast.
I heard they were like really well done and very scary.
Terrifying. Yeah. Those, Annabelle. That's the one with the evil doll. Those things freak me out, dude.
Yes.
But I'm a sucker for them. I'll watch all the time. The Halloween franchise people are done with, which, again, I don't know how he's still alive after the last one, but I'm going to be there. That's going to be the first movie I go to since COVID. I will be in theaters for that movie. They sucker me back in every single time.
I'm going to go see Bond. I want to see the new James Bond.
Awesome, dude. And then there's a movie called Morbius that Khalil mentions that's coming out next year, which is another one of those vampirism movies.
I'm in on the Morbius.
Morbius, here it is.
Give me the plot line.
Biochemist Michael Morbius tries to cure himself of a rare blood disease, but when his experiment goes wrong, he inadvertently infects himself with a form of vampirism instead. Release date, January 28th.
Sounds like Spider-Man.
Why would you make that come out in January?
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't it just smarter to do it in October?
Sounds like Spider-Man, though, no?
Yeah, no, he got bit by the spider, though. He didn't.
Same thing.
Yeah, but he wasn't trying to save himself.
All right, well, whatever. It was some sort of issue, and you know, he got bit by a lab spider. And this one, he's getting, you know, injected with vampire, whatever, juice.
Yeah, no, he's injecting himself,
you're
going to
do vampire
man.
Juice?
I'm staying away from that, dude.
There you go. Here's Gabriel. Here's a scary monster. Ben Simmons' heart paired with Carson Wentz's frail body.
That's terrifying.
The Hollow Man. That was good. That was Gabriel.
He'd be easy to take down, though.
By the way, thanks to Gabriel, he was talking about the creator of Squid Game.
Okay.
Which we have talked about.
Yeah.
He wrote the show in 2009, but was rejected by studios for 10 years. He wants him to stop writing the script and sell his laptop. He had a $675 laptop. Today, it's number one in 90 countries. The most watched show in Netflix history, Squid Game.
Right.
My man wrote that in 2009.
That's kind of cool.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
No, in fact, I want to thank Gabriel. Gabriel, because Gabriel sent it to me to not give up.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. I'm with him. Keep going.
By the way, Tasty Cake Dom says Morbius is Spider-Man's enemy. Is that true?
I know Venom was one of the guys. Hold on.
I don't know. I don't know whatever it is. I don't know Morbius.
Apparently, there is a Morbius from back in the cartoon days.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, wait. So is Morbius another one of these?
I don't know, dude. I'm out on this.
Well, me too. I haven't watched any of these.
Yeah, I'm out on that. Because I got a yo.
Ah, is that right?
Yeah, it's good.
Because we got a yo.
Yo. Yo.
Yo.
Yo.
All right, here's a yo. Uncle Frank, his cousin Mike Liberi, he's like a brother to me. He retired from SEPTA after 37 years. He started as a bus driver, finished as chief of ground transportation, overseeing 3,000 employees. How awesome is that? He was instrumental in dealing with the planning for Pope Francis and the Super Bowl parade. He and his wife, Trish, bought a home in the Outer Banks and is going to retire him there. Uncle Frank is going to miss him dearly.
Oh, well, congratulations.
That's a good yo, man.
Yeah,
good job,
great.
Mike Liberi. Start from the bottom, man. I like that. I respect that. Let's go to Mark. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Oh, man. So I'm taking a look at this team, and it's a direct reflection of lack of personnel, like we've been saying all along, like top to bottom. We're generally weaker than a lot of the rosters around the league when you go through and you look, take a look at depth, you take a look at key positions, because the guys we rely on are not living up to like what they are on paper. So if you don't have Lane and you don't have Fletcher and you don't have Slay and you don't have BG and you don't have Brooks and you don't have Kelsey, you don't have the vets playing up to what they are. They're older. And so what do you look at? You look at youth. Well, that's a big problem for this team. So that, to me, that's a bigger problem than the coaching. Now, I wanted to get your take on if Hurts throughout the whole season, what do you do if it's not clear? If the picture is ambivalent and you're looking at it and you're like, well, he's...
It's a great question, but I don't think it's going to be to the point where I don't know the answer. Like, if you're asking me right now what the answer would be, I would draft a quarterback. But again, I don't know. I want to keep an open mind and hope that he can show me. I need to see him throw out of the pocket and throw darts down the field, not run a gimmick offense.
Right, but his limitations are obvious.
Well, if that's the case, then you got to get somebody else.
I mean, are they thinking that right now? Or are they thinking, well, look, the guy can't throw.
Dude, let me ask you a question. You're a smart dude. All right? You remember the rumors at the draft. They were going to trade up. The kid the Jets took. All right? Yeah, from BYU. You know Zach Wilson. They had an eye for. You heard all the stuff surrounding Deshaun Watson. I mean, what's that tell you?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, he's got every opportunity to try to win the job. But he, in my mind, I still got to see more. Like, I mean, you know, again, I need to see him make throws from the pocket. That's a key thing. I don't need all those flat throws, right? I mean, I know he can do that. I know he's accurate. I love him to death as a kid. I know he's a winner. But I got to see him make certain throws because, to me, that's the only way this offense is ever going to be. With those receivers, you got to go chunk plays down the field.
I know. I absolutely agree. I mean, you can only take advantage so much with them. I mean, especially, you know, Devontae over the top or Rager over the top. They're all, you know, they were.
But those receivers are good. I mean, you know, all three of them, I like Rager slotted in. And then you got tight ends. I mean, they got a good weapon. So, you know, that's what I'm looking for Hurts to take the next step to win the job, Mark. That's what has to happen. I got to see him make those throws. Now, let me see him, you know, again, I like the way he played Sunday. Let me see him do it against Carolina. A stout defense in what's going to be a close game on the road. Let me see him make some of those throws. Like, here's the thing. I need to see him make those throws when the field shrinks. Right? When you're in the red zone. Like, you can't miss. Like, nobody says you're going to be perfect. But you missed Ertz and you missed Ward. Ward should have caught it, but you didn't put the right touch on it. You missed him.
Yeah.
And it was an easy throw.
Yeah.
So I got to see improvement there. And maybe it happens. I don't know. But you're asking me, at some point, I think it becomes clear.
Yeah, and you got still another 13 weeks to find
out.
Well,
wait, maybe he grows. I don't know. Like, yeah. Maybe he grows and is able to do it. But right now, I got to say it. Brett, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Brett.
Hey, Ann, how you doing?
What's up, brother? Welcome.
I hope that the Birds just give Hurts, you know, a proper look before they pull the plug and sit him down. You know, there's going to be a lot of pressure to win, so...
I think you got a whole season. I think you have a whole season to look at.
You think they're going
to
give him the whole season?
I mean, unless he's a disaster, which I don't think is going to happen.
I mean, you know, by the end of, halfway through the season, how many wins are they going to have? Two at best?
Yeah, but the schedule lightens up. So, you know, I want to see him against the Jets of the world. I want to see him play, you know, your Giants, Washington. You know, let him get those games in.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I got 20 seconds, so you got to give me on the TV, please.
Oh, Chapelwaite, Adrian Brody, the series, Vampires, excellent.
Oh, yeah. What's it called again?
Chapelwaite, Stephen King, based on Jerusalem Plot.
Oh, wow. All right. Listen, I won't. Oh, all right. I'm down with that, Brett. Good stuff. All right. We're out of time. Damn. I enjoy that. Fun show as always. Guys, you the guys are the best. We appreciate you. Stay tuned. Mikey, Miss Ty, General, T.Y. Johnson, Jen, coming up next. Have a great day. We love you. See you in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.